News for Gamers, Internet's Now radio program proudly presents...
The M4G Podcast!
Every week you're tuning in, listening to us ramble on about the latest in gaming news. And without further ado, let us introduce you to Zero Tolerance, Gambit's Con. Give Pepper Wombat to a special guest or two if we are nice enough to let them on our podcast, the N4G Podcast.
Yeah, that's cool.
Jeez, we should have a cluck off.
That's terrible. Hey, man, shut the cluck up.
Hi, welcome to another week of News for Gamers podcast radio for the week of June 30th, 2008. And with us today we have Gambus Khan.
Hey, how's it going, everybody out there in internet land?
There you go. Yeah. Also with us we have the new appointed news editor, Killer Wolverine.
You can't see it, but I'm raising the roof.
You're raising the roof?
Yeah.
You should raise your voice.
Oh.
Roof.
I'm raising the roof.
Okay.
There you go. There you go. That's wow. How you're supposed to speak.
Wow. I think that's the loudest he's ever been ever.
Yeah.
Mark awesome. That. Mark that timestamp down.
What is it? What am I looking at here, boy?
Dude, I don't know. I have to edit it. All right.
Fuck.
And also with us, we have the wombat. Round wombat.
Oh, you're talking about me now. Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Don't raise the roof.
Yeah, I don't raise the roof.
We have a very exciting show this week. Lots of games. Lots of news. 2 weeks before E3.
2 weeks, huh?
Two weeks.
I don't speak it. I'm just making
okay,
it up.
Okay, no, trois is three, isn't it?
No, it's...
is it trois?
Yeah.
Trois.
Yeah.
No, it's un, trois, trois. Un, trois.
Trois.
Why are we speaking French? Can we?
The French audience knows that we don't know how to count in French.
Yeah. I know how to count in
Sorry.
French.
But you're all supposed to speak in British accents.
I'm not speaking in a British accent.
Oh, hello. How's it going?
That's not quite British.
Spot on, Governor. Yeah.
That was, that was...
Welcome to the News for Gamers podcast radio.
Oh, hello, how's it going? Welcome to News for Radio.
It's time for what you're fondling at tea time.
I liked his arm movement. No one could see it but us, but he was...
Who's doing arm movement?
Oh, welcome Gambus. To the world's worst British accent podcast radio.
Welcome. All right, Gambus Khan, what are you fondling this week?
Oh, God. So bad.
I'm just going to talk normal, man.
You're just going to talk normal?
Yeah. Okay.
Out of right.
Let me collect myself here.
Collect yourself.
Hurry up and talk about the games that you played this week.
On the Nintendo... Not the Nintendo. I'm going to start with the Xbox first. On the Xbox 360...
360.
Great! I played some virtual tennis...
Five?
Three. Three. I didn't go to the future this time, so...
Damn. Guess Doc Brown wasn't around, huh?
Yeah, so...
Marty!
I played some more virtual tennis tree. Hey, you know something? I am convinced that there's only two other guys in the world that play this game.
You trying to play online?
Yeah, I try to play online, and there's like two dudes that I get like all the time.
Two dudes you get all the time?
You get two dudes all the time? That's
nice.
And those are the only two guys other than myself that's playing this game.
Well, that's what happens when you buy a game 2 years after it came out.
Yeah,
that's true. And on top of that, it's a tennis game.
Oh, snap.
That's okay.
Hey, I like tennis. Tennis is cool.
When me and Zero used to play Guilty Gear, it was us two and like 6,000 very, very talented Japanese people.
Yes, we were the only...
So,
that's awesome.
So what else are you playing, Vitamin Water?
I'm also... Well, I tried the demo for the new Top Spin game.
Top Spin 3?
Yeah.
I heard it was... Eh.
I should have it coming to me.
It's a simulator where Virtual Tennis 3 is an arcade game Top Spin simulates. And you have to have precision timing in order to have fun. And you know something? I wasn't having fun.
Are you playing all these tennis games in celebration of Wimbledon going on right now? Is that like your thing?
Wimbledon, what's that?
Wimbledon?
Dun, dun, dun.
Wimbledon?
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know what Wimbledon is.
Yeah, Wimbledon is a tennis tournament.
Yeah, Wimbledon.
just in a tennis mode.
Yeah, I picked up virtual tennis tree for.
Did you play Wii Tennis?
Not this week, but I have played it. It's pretty good. It's all right.
It's all right.
But,
it's all right.
But yeah, Topspin 3, I'm not feeling it.
not feeling it.
Maybe I'd have to be more of a fan of the precisionness of tennis to fully appreciate it. And I just want to get out there and, play an arcade game. So, that's just me, though. And another 360 game that I played, which isn't that many, I played Commando 3.
Wolf of the Battlefield.
Wolf of the Battlefield, Commando 3.
And this is like Metal Gear. Like, when I say something, he says it like a question.
Yeah. Because I do that, I like to repeat people a lot.
Wolf of the Battlefield.
Wolf of the Battlefield. Wolf of the Battlefield.
CQC.
What? Yeah.
Metal Gear.
And it's all right.
Meryl.
I like it.
Liquid.
It's pretty good. You know, you guys need to get on Xbox Live so we can play a three-player game. And
we've already beat it. I mean, we're waiting on you. You should get online and play with us. Why do we have to get online with you?
Look at that. Snap.
What's the deal?
Ball's in your court, Gambus Khan.
Oh, ball, like you playing tennis.
Is in your court.
Ha, ha, ha.
The ball's in my court, huh? Well.
No one heard it.
I'm sure there's someone else on my friend's list who would probably like to play Commandos 3 with me.
Oh, so we're not good enough to play with you.
We're not good enough to play with you? I see
how it is. That's fine. That's fine. He's shown just,
Even though I give you a free code for the game. That's fine. I'll take it back.
Okay. Okay. You can take it back. You can take it back all the way back. Well, anyway. And the last game that I played on the 360 was the Street Fighter 2, Super Street Fighter 2
Turbo. Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo,
HD Remix.
Beta.
Yeah, it's a tongue twister,
No, it's just a mouthful.
No comment. I'm going to.
No comment. I'm
actually kind of proud of this podcast so far because we've had balls mentioned and a mouthful mentioned, and nobody has really made the joke yet.
We're cleaning
I'm
up.
I'm proud of the maturity level that's. Yes. Starting to seep its way into the podcast.
Me too.
Speaking of which, it's pretty good. I mean, yeah, the animation isn't there. It's the original animation from Street Fighter 2, but with vastly improved graphics. I mean, you got the guys from Udon Comics doing the visuals for the game, but yeah, it's like the visuals are like super incredible, but the animations are still kind of stuck in the late 80s.
Yeah, well, but it's
kind of a.
I actually prefer that because it makes the game play exactly like Street Fighter 2 always has. So if they would have changed the animation, there's a chance it could have changed the gameplay a little bit. So
I'm sort of
glad they went that route.
I'm not unhappy that it's that way. I think what disappoints me about the beta is that two characters, one stage.
Right.
And that's just like, okay, so it's very limited. I want so much more. Like, when I see the character select screen, I get excited.
Yeah.
There's so many freaking characters on there.
But, I mean, who knows? Maybe that's all what's done of the game so far. I mean,
wow.
We'll see the rest of it E3 2012.
We gotta expect the worst,
It's also they've also said that there is a remix mode that you can play that is a lot. It adds new moves and stuff,
right?
That will change the game, but the purists can still play original Street Fighter 2. So
yeah, but
I mean it's great. It looks gorgeous,
and I have to comment on the fact that the music is awesome.
Yeah.
The remix versions of the Street Fighter music are just awesome.
Or more specifically, the Ryu stage.
Right. Yeah, since that's the only one they let you play.
Yeah. Damn. I'm really interested in hearing certain choice stages, such as I'm a big fan of the M. Bison music. Blanca.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Blanca music. But
he's Charlie,
Don't ever say that again. But
in reference to the horrible Street Fighter movie.
We almost went a long time without referencing the terrible Street Fighter movie.
I know. And they're making a sequel.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be just as good. But
although,
anyway.
The original Street Fighter movie does have a very funny line in it.
When, dude, the whole movie's of one big funny line.
That movie killed Raul Julia.
Yeah, it did. Poor Raul Julia.
Yeah.
He'll never rest in peace now. His ghost still haunts the set of Street Fighter the movie. But the scene when the good guys are all invading or whatever and they're watching it on the security monitor and the guy that's playing Zangief goes, "Quick, change the channel!" That's the only part in the entire movie that made me laugh intentionally. But then again, I was like, 13 at the time?
Well, yeah. But continue on.
Man, I'm still... Dude, why do you have to bring up that movie?
Focus on your fondling.
Okay. Okay, back on track now. I've also been playing a lot of DS games, actually.
I thought you were going to say you've been playing a lot of D. I'm like, wow, welcome to 1999.
Yeah.
I also played Jack Ryan Radio.
I played some Etrian Odyssey. Not Part 2, which just came out, but the first one. The thing is, I did pick up Part 2 so that when I beat the first one, which probably won't be for another 2 or 3 years, then I could go straight to Part 2.
It's good to know that you have goals.
Yeah, I mean, I'm planning ahead, man. And I really love Etrian Odyssey. I mean, it's very, very old school, hardcore. Love the music by Yasu Koshiro, and he also did the music for Part 2, so I'm looking forward to that. And another game that I played is Final Fantasy III Remake.
You played a Final Fantasy game this week?
You're kidding.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I played a Final Fantasy game.
Next you're going to tell me Killer Wolverine broke a controller this week.
Hey, he just might. But Final Fantasy III, the remake for DS, it's pretty good. It's good. It's very old school. You got the whole Crystal storyline. You know,
really? Crystal of Life?
It might as well be the Crystal of Life. It's a gigantic crystal. I mean, it's literally like 20 foot tall. You know,
it's a big-ass crystal.
And in unison.
Wow. We've and been doing this too fucking long.
Yeah. It's just floating in the air, and it's like it talks to the four main characters.
A crystal talks to the main characters?
Yes, it talks and some.
You are officially never allowed to make fun of any game I play ever again.
It would be better if the crystal had giant googly eyes and a big, giant mouth.
And it had Japanese anime expressions. Right. Oh!
But,
little teardrop above his head.
Yeah, the big, giant teardrop. I'm just like Solid Snake. I repeat what you say. I repeat what you say? Yeah. But yeah, I played it. It's pretty good. I've never played Final Fantasy III before. This is the Japanese version of III, so the first time I'm playing it, and I'm kind of getting myself prepared for Final Fantasy IV remake, which is the game I really want to play. But since I never played III, I'm like I might as well go through Part III. So
sweet.
That's the other RPG I've been playing. And lastly, the last game I must mention is a little treasure, little gem. It's a good game to pick up for $20. Actually, it's a fantastic game to pick up for $20. You could get it for DS or PSP, but I got the DS version. Is Space Invaders Extreme. It's fantastic. It is the equivalent of Pac-Man Championship Edition to Space Invaders. Whereas you remember the original Space Invaders, which is, by the way, Space Invaders is 30 years old. It's as old as me.
Space Invaders. That's that game that's based on the N4G logo, right?
Yeah, it's based on our logo.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
They went back in time.
Yeah,
gotta get back in time.
Okay there, Huey. But
where's Dewey and Louie? Oh, wait, they're right there.
Yeah.
You know that tomorrow there's going to be somebody sending me an email telling me that Space Invaders was around 30 years before N4G showed up.
Really? I bet they will. They have nothing better to do.
But it is... The graphics are like colorful. It's like neon and all that. And
like Pac-Man Championship Edition.
Yeah, and it's got the whole techno music and yeah.
We playing Lumines?
It actually kind of reminds me of Lumines because when you move your spaceship,
when I groove,
it actually makes sounds that go with the music, and every time you fire your gun, it makes other sounds that also go with the music, and when your gun actually hits the enemies, it also makes musical tones.
Is it a cymbal crash when it hits the enemy?
I think at one of the stages it is. So basically, when you're playing the game, it's like you're adding to the music as well. But like the original version of Space Invaders, it was very simplistic. You know, you just moved left and right, and you shot down these aliens coming down at you, and they're slowly advancing in rows. And this one is very similar in a broad sense of terms, but they also add in aliens that, let's see, they attack you in wild patterns, very, very sometimes unpredictable patterns. They fire back at you, and there are certain ones that have shields that when you shoot the shield, your beam bounces off and comes back to you.
Nice.
So you have to actually dodge your own fire sometimes. And there's also bosses at the end of the stages. There's actual bosses that be playing on the DS. Some of them take up both screens.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a very, very fantastic retooled, re-envisioned version of Space Invaders. So it's not the same exact game, but it kind of feels like it, but it's a complete reimagined of the gameplay mechanic. And you can also get power-ups for your beam, and these power-ups are actually based on, like, if you hit three of the same colored of the invaders, you get a certain power-up. Like, if you hit three green ones, three red ones, or three blue ones, you get a power-up. If you get a red power-up, you shoot, like, this bomb that when it hits the invaders, it'll blow up a section of them. If you get a green power-up, it makes it to where it's like you're shooting, like, five beams at one time. And my most personal favorite, and I'm sure it'd be a favorite of most people that play the game, is the blue power-up, which is this giant freaking laser beam that just cuts through everything that you shoot at. And it's an extremely fun game. Just like the game, just like the name, Space Invaders Extreme. If you like shooters, you got a DS, you owe it to yourself to pick this game up. It's $20. It's incredible, and it's awesome.
So does that wrap up your fondling?
Yeah.
Wow.
What about future fondling?
Future fondling, Aces of the Galaxy.
Yes.
And I'll have a review review coming soon.
Sounds the way it is. You should do Space Invaders, too.
You know, I was thinking about it. Yeah.
Space Invaders review from Gamma's Coast.
Space Invaders. Let me think what else. Civilization. I'm going to be picking up on Civilization when it comes out.
Revolution.
Yeah, and I might pick up a Xbox Live Arcade game, one or two. I don't know. But toward the end of the month, of course, Final Fantasy IV, and of course, we're also coming upon the age of
Conan?
Destiny. Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the age of Conan. I'm like, what?
The age of Conan. No.
Awesome. So now we're going to move on to Killer Wolverine. I know your palate's full.
Yeah. Of nothing.
Our news editor doesn't play games now. He's too busy with the news.
And school. A lot of school. Two games.
Two games.
Two and a quarter.
Two and a quarter.
Two and a quarter.
Let's do the quarter first.
The quarter was the demo of Happy Tree Friends.
Happy Tree Friends.
Interesting game.
Interesting, huh?
You gotta guide your little Happy Tree Friend through a level. That's the only... I don't know if it changes or not.
I only play the tutorial, but basically you try... You have four different things. You have, like, a fire you can set. You have an action button. You have a...
Ice,
and then you have, like, some kind of destroying button, and there's obstacles in front of him, and if you've ever watched the Happy Tree Friends, it's all about just how they get murdered.
Right.
Which, And if you let your happy tree friend hit the obstacle, like, pieces of his face fall off, and you can see his skull and blood dripping off of it. But basically, you just got to get him to the end without him dying.
Which is weird, because the camera doesn't scroll with you.
No, you have to scroll the camera. It's like, it's almost like a point-and-click game, because he walks automatically.
Yeah.
So you just have to do the things in front of him before the obstacles hit him. So it's kind of weird.
Sounds pretty interesting.
Sounds kind of like Lemmings.
It's very similar to a Lemmings. And then later in the game, it gets harder because they add more Happy Tree Friends and different obstacles. So it's different. I mean, and that, I guess that's a good thing. If you're a fan of the show, it's neat because you can just watch them kill each other.
That's always fun to watch.
It's a very violent, like, kitty game.
Yeah.
Very violent kitty game.
Huh. Indeed.
It's a funny show.
It's very funny.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance fondled me for a little bit.
Yes.
Whoa.
Or my console, rather.
In the Wayback Machine.
In the Wayback Machine in 1925.
Still having fun playing.
That's a good game.
It's a very good game.
I need to get back into it.
We need to play it online.
Yeah.
Like, we say that every week, but we need to play it online.
Yes. Yes. Now that all four of us have it.
Yeah, send me a game invite sometime, and we could play.
I'd send you a game invite if you were ever online when I was. But you never are. I never see you.
I noticed you popped on last night on PlayStation Network, and then popped immediately back offline.
Why did I pop onto the PlayStation Network? I don't remember why.
It might have been to watch a movie.
I might have watched a movie.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's about half the reason why I pop online on PSN.
Yeah.
I watch a movie.
Is that an underhanded jab to PlayStation 3?
A little bit.
You need to be more in detail. I just rolled out your Happy Tree Friends thing.
Well, I couldn't really give a good description. I played the demo, and I just kind of, half asleep through
it. Did you buy a double pack?
I did.
What's the other game you got?
Forza 2.
Mm.
Did you like how I said that? Forza 2.
Well, you don't like it?
I only played 5 minutes of it, so I can't really pass.
So you got the same double pack that I got.
Well, you decide
$20.
You decide you want to get rid of it. You let me know.
I'll let you know. You won't have a case with it or anything.
That's fine.
All right. So I gotta play more of it. It was a NASCAR track almost. It was just left.
What's this double pack?
It was what
Marvel
came with
and
the system?
It was Marvel.
Oh, gotcha.
So, but I played. I don't know. I'll play more of it. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. I'm trying to like racing games. I'm trying to open up my.
Well, Forza is not really a introductory racing game.
No, I know that. I played other racing games before, but I'm trying to get back into.
That'd be like Burnout or Flat Out or something. You know.
Yeah.
Those are good introductory racing games.
Yeah.
Well, they're not really.
That's
racing.
That's a good racing game for a noob. Noob.
I've played racing games. Just don't like them. I'm trying to like them.
He's trying.
Try. At least I'm trying. Something I'll never do with Final Fantasy.
Rippage.
So,
speaking of Final Fantasy, I got a rant that's warming up.
Nice.
It's warming in his soul. It's stewing.
He's got one brewing.
You can hear it in his stomach.
So the other game that you played?
You were gracious. I can't say the word. Whatever. Battlefield Bad Company.
Battlefield Bad Company.
Yeah. So I played half hour maybe of it.
It's never good when you say I played a game and then you go...
I don't understand why some are giving it 9. It's you can blow shit up. Ooh, that adds awesome.
Well, see, here's
I got
the thing.
It coming it's, to me on Gamefly.
It's you do one objective, you move on to the smoke. You watch a cutscene, you do an objective. You move on to the smoke, you see a cutscene.
Well, here's the biggest problem.
Enemies never miss.
The problem with Battlefield Bad Company is that the first big problem that I have is that the enemies know where you are all the time.
Yep.
They do not miss.
Nope. They try to sneak around. You can see them as you sneak around. You can see them aiming at one of your teammates who do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, your teammates are useless.
Absolutely nothing.
They do nothing.
You see them aiming, and then when you're ready to, and you line up your shot, you finally line up your shot, they turn to you and just start shooting you, and you got to go back into cover and heal yourself.
And that's the second thing that pisses me off is the healing system. There are no health packs. There is no regenerating health. You have this needle that has a timer on it. You have to flip through it by selecting it with your left bumper. You pull the right trigger and he stabs himself, gives himself full health. And then you have to wait for it to recharge.
Before you can use it again.
But in the middle of a battle, and here's the thing with the enemies not missing, you have to heal after every firefight.
Yep.
And I'm talking with one enemy.
Yeah.
So... You heal yourself almost as much as you shoot in that game.
It's really annoying because you see him. First off, sometimes you don't know where the hell you're getting shot from.
No, you're just getting shot, and you're trying to find the bullets, but they hit you so well that your health just starts going.
They could be like a mile or two away, and you see them on your map, but you still can't get a beat on them because they're hiding in like the trees or something. And the bullets always, like, they're magnetic. They come right to your face.
Yeah, they hit you every time.
You know something? I actually forgot to mention that I also played the demo for Battlefield Bad Company.
It is frustrating.
It is very hard.
Now, did you guys play multiplayer at all?
No, I have not played multiplayer since the beta yet. Still.
This is your problem. You're expecting anything out of a single-player Battlefield game.
Well, when, you know, DICE tells me is a focused single-player Battlefield game.
I know, but still, even when they said that, I knew it wasn't going to be all that
great. It's just frustrating because when you get shot and you finally see him, you go into cover, and you peek up trying to line up a shot. You get 20 bullets in your face, and you have to go back down, heal yourself, try to get a shot again, and it's just...
And vehicles, forget it. If you're facing a vehicle, forget it.
Yeah.
You're not going to win
tank,
the fight.
I don't know how many times did I die by that one tank that I faced?
My entire draw to Battlefield is for the multiplayer. I don't even know if I'll play the single player.
I don't even know if I'm going to play the game anymore.
Dang.
Well, the other thing that upsets me about the game is it's not just the fact that the single player is frustrating, but the aiming is so twitchy.
Touchy.
Yep.
It is so
it is
twitchy.
Very
like, if you
touchy.
Turn it up, you'll get sick. But if you turn it down, you can't turn fast enough.
Right.
It's got kind of like that... like when you turn, you know how your gun will move with you, but then it'll kind of shift after you're done turning. That kind of thing. The look spring.
Gotcha.
So like you'll turn and then you're gonna go ugh, and you're turning it ugh, and it doesn't line up right. The reticle too big. Yep. The gun on screen too big.
Yep.
Wait, you have this giant fucking hulking gun in your hand that you're walking around like I can't even see anything.
Yeah.
I mean it's just and hitting enemies is a bitch.
Yeah, I was playing a Battlefield and there was an armored vehicle that was attacking. You know the rest of the guys that were with me, and I was literally running around this armored vehicle, and they were shooting at the other guys. But the very very split second that I would be in the same like line of sight as them, they would automatically be firing at me.
You don't even have to be in the line of sight with them.
No, you really don't. They just start bullets start coming your way. I'm like,
they can guess where you are and hit you.
Yeah, I mean it's stupid. It really is stupid.
And like I said, your teammates don't do shit. They're just there.
They're just there to crack jokes.
So it's basically a Battlefield that is best played online.
There you
again,
go.
I don't know if I
shock. If I have to give credit, the blowing holes in walls is fun.
Oh yeah, it's
it
fun.
It just doesn't stop being
right. Create your own shortcuts and all that.
And
but
mowing down trees with like a minigun, that's just fun.
I didn't say that wasn't fun. That is fun, but the game's not.
It's got good sound effects.
Yeah,
it's got some of the best sound work you will ever hear.
And it's got some good explosion.
Visually impressive.
And it's funny, too. All the buildings look exactly the same inside.
Yeah, if I go inside, you get lost. Like, every building's exactly the
exactly
same. Has the exact same layout and everything.
Usually, I don't mind the map being in, like, the bottom left corner, but it just doesn't seem to fit there for some reason.
The map I didn't have a problem with.
I don't know. Maybe I got to play it more, but I don't think I'm going to. I might gamefly it. I don't know. I have to weigh my options.
I'm gonna keep playing through single player, and I'm gonna dig into some multiplayer. But I don't think I could recommend with so many with Call of Duty out there,
right?
Halo out there. I mean, there's just better shooters out there.
How it's getting the scores it is, I don't really know.
I don't know what it is that, and people are praising the single player, and I don't get it.
I don't either.
My guess is some of that is the fact that the Battlefield games have always been like completely shallow in the single player department, so they're probably giving them points just for trying single player.
I know, but but that would be like saying Metal Gear doesn't really have online. So when they add it, let's give them credit because
people have done that.
You know,
but
the old Battlefield game, what was it? Modern Combat. The single player was hard and fuck.
The single player was too
was
hard.
It was really
Modern
hard.
Combat.
Well, yeah,
but
and
it was better though.
Yeah, I mean it was decent, but it had Unreal Syndrome, where the single player basically just felt like a multiplayer match against bots.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'll decide if I want a game flight. I'm definitely not going to buy it.
I'll be interested in the multiplayer because that's really where that game shines. But if it's like the beta, I may still have problems with it because I didn't care much for the beta. So
let me know how that is. If that brings up the the playability of the game that maybe, but
I didn't care much for the beta either. So.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of curious if this was just, you know, I didn't really waste money. I bought it off somebody for $25.
Now,
I'm not losing a whole I could probably trade it in for more than that.
Right.
So, I don't know.
So what are you looking forward to playing this week?
I don't know. I want to play Simpsons.
Since
I got the Simpsons. I want to play Devil May Cry because I gamefied that 3 weeks ago. I haven't touched it. So
you ever going to finish Bioshock?
I want to finish Bioshock. I want to start Mass Effect again. I want to play
Sorry, I can't help but make that noise anytime I hear the words Mass Effect.
There's a lot of stuff game. I want to play, but you know, chances are this time next week I'll probably play one or two games. So.
It's so funny because you're the same guy that's like, I want to buy this game, I want to buy this game, and you have 10 games sitting there that you haven't played.
Yeah.
You remind me of somebody else.
Oh, jeez. You're looking...
We'll see. My game plan is going to be limited down the next few weeks. So
school times.
Yeah, I got to take another certification here in three weeks. So
3, 2, 1, contact.
Nice.
So we'll see.
That's our second week in a row with a 3, 2, 1 contact reference, I think.
Nice.
So I'll try to play those, but I'm not promising nothing.
You still owe me a Warlords review, too.
I do, and I still need to pick up Gears of War. So we'll see. We'll see what happens this week.
All right, so now we move on to the Womboat.
What's up?
Ow!
That's what you get.
Sorry. Never mind. I'll leave.
Fuck.
No, I played... I didn't play... I actually gamed quite a bit this week, but didn't play a lot of games. I had to play quite a bit more Prize Fighter so I could review it for ZTGD, where you can find my review right
yes,
now.
Yes, you can.
You
it's the top story.
And, you know, I gave it, if you read the review, spoiler alert, I gave it a 5.5. It's, the career, once again, like I said, is very good, and it does pull you in, and it makes you want to keep playing the game, even though the game is not very good. And the thing that bothers me the most about it, and this probably isn't fair of me, but it does, so whatever. The thing
that
bothers me...
We just landed an issue of 17
we
magazine?
Did.
What the hell?
We did. Is that 2K is always... They're always the ones who are about making the games as realistic as possible. Like with Top Spin. They try and make the most realistic tennis game as possible.
Yeah.
With the football series that they had. They tried to make it the most realistic they possibly could. College basketball, the same way. And they said that that was their goal with Prize Fighter, was to make a more realistic boxing game. But in the end, it's about the least realistic boxing game that I've played.
Next to Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, right?
Pretty much. I mean, it's...
Whoops!
It's completely... The block is almost useless, because it works sometimes, it doesn't work sometimes. The punches will go straight through somebody... Or you'll throw a punch that looks like it didn't even come close to connecting, and the guy will react. The collision detection is terrible. The boxers move. In my review, I think I wrote that the boxers move like pregnant yaks. it's just the actual in-ring gameplay is so disappointing to me, especially coming off the last boxing game that most everybody played, which was Fight Night Round 3. And it just, I think it bothers me because I like most of 2K's stuff, and it bothers me, I don't know if it bothers me, but I will say that for once, as far as realism go, EA got it right and 2K got it wrong. I mean, overall, like I said, the career is good, the multiplayer is pretty good, there's no real lag. The only problem is there's lag even in the single player game, because when you push a button, there's a delay between when you push the button and when he throws the punch. So it's just I was really, really looking forward to Prize Fighter because I'm a huge boxing fan, and it just was very disappointing to me. So there you go. Read my review if you want the full scoop. Read my review. I'll plug it right now. Read it. Only in America. So I played some more Monster Hunter 2, and I'm still digging it, but it is so hard. So hard. It takes a lot of planning and making sure you have the right items and
yeah,
all that stuff before you even leave. So
you almost would have to have a second player to play the game.
You almost would have to have a second player to play the game.
GambusCon really good thing wants that to play some multiplayer.
Yeah, it's a good thing that it's a multiplayer game.
He's in multiplayer mode.
But it is. It's very tough. And it's not a game that you can just... It looks, on first glance, like it's just kind of your typical action RPG slash 'em up.
Yeah.
But if you go at it like that, you're going to get killed so fast.
Pew.
You have to make sure that you have all the right equipment, that you have the right gear on for the climate, because if you wear the wrong armor in a cold environment, you'll start to freeze and you lose stamina. If you wear the wrong clothing in a hot environment, then you lose stamina because your guy's tired. You really have to make sure you plan before every single mission. So I ran into my first giant monster, and the quest was, there's these bison-looking things with big horns.
Yeah.
And the quest was, we need 3 tongues from them. Well, they don't fight back, so all you gotta do is walk up to them and just cut the hell out of them and they die. So I'm like, well, this is going to be easy. It's like they've all run to the top of the mountain. It appears there might be something scaring them. So I assumed it was going to be the little raptor things or whatever that I'd have to fight. So I climb to the top of the mountain, and I see the bison that I need to kill. So I'm like, sweet. Start to run over to kill him, and out of nowhere, this huge fucking dragon thing just jumps on top of me and knocks me across the screen. I turn around, and it's enormous, and it's got... It's front legs almost look like they could be wings because they're way, like, elbowed out.
Yeah.
And it's just huge. And it's sitting there screaming at me, and I'm like, nice. It's going to be a little harder to get these tongues than I thought. And I got pyont. I mean, pyont.
Uber ponage.
So, but it's an awesome game. Anybody that likes, if you like RPGs or you like games with a little bit of strategy in them and you got a PSP, it's...
PSP.
It's a great game to pick up. So I played a decent amount of that just here and there. And then the game that I played the most was Metal Gear.
Metal Gear.
Meryl.
Liquid. Otacon. Colonel.
Because I'm trying to beat it. So for all you people who are very disappointed that I hadn't beat it yet, I apologize. I finished Act 4 last night. So I'm nearing the end.
Yeah, man, hurry up. I even beat it. Fuck.
You didn't. You watched it get beat.
Next week, we should be able to do the
next week,
Metal
I will
Gear
definitely,
discussion.
I will have it beat by next week for sure. And it's... I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil anything for anybody that hasn't played it yet, but the game's awesome. It's just awesome.
It is a can of awesome
the only,
sauce.
I was telling these guys
jug.
Before the show... that the only disappointment I have is that I was very disappointed in a couple of the boss fights just because, and I mean, I'll explain more once we get to our spoiler edition.
Spoiler!
Of Metal Gear Solid. But a couple of the boss fights disappointed me because they didn't have the same impact as previous boss fights in the series have had. I don't want to really go into why, because I don't want to spoil anything.
Spoiler!
Not in terms of story, but in terms of actual gameplay. They just weren't as memorable as some of the other boss fights in the series, because, I mean, I could tell you right now that, and I was thinking this as I was playing it last night, I can go back to, in my mind, to Metal Gear Solid, the first one, and remember every single boss fight from the first one. And I just don't know that some of the boss fights in this one are going to hold up that well. But, I mean, that's a disappointment that's only brought on because that's one of the things that the series is best at,
yeah.
Is the really cool boss fights. So it's kind of like the game set itself up to be too awesome, and I got disappointed on that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But other than that, no, the game is fantastic. And the cutscenes, like I said last week, I'm not a huge cutscene guy. In fact, I'm the antithesis of a huge cutscene guy. They draw me in, so because they're so well done. So, So there you go. So, and at this point, last week I said that I was going to have to play the game more to tell you whether or not it was my favorite in the series. And at this point, it is not. It's definitely second, but I still, at this point, the first one is still my favorite of the series. I haven't beat it yet, so that might change. But at this point, the first one is still my favorite of the series. So there you go. That's actually all the fondling I had this week. That's all I played. So because I had some big swatches of Metal Gear time.
There you go. So what are you looking forward to fondling this week?
Well, I definitely want Civ. That's a bonus. But, you know, what sucks about Civ is that, and I mentioned this before, is I don't have usually a lot of long stretches of time to play a game. And as much as I want to play Civ, it's going to be like, man, when am I ever going to have time?
Yeah.
Luckily, once I beat Metal Gear, that'll free up some time.
Metal Gear?
Other than that...
Metal Gear.
Other than that...
Meryl.
What I want
to...
It's like Tourette's with you guys.
Jesus. Otacon.
What I want to do is...
Naomi. Colonel.
try and go back and clear out some of the games that I have that I haven't finished. Like Viking. I still haven't finished Viking.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday.
It's been 2 months since I played Viking. Yeah. It's so sad.
I haven't finished Assassin's Creed, if that tells you anything.
Oh,
wow.
Me either, though.
Me neither.
Ninja Gaiden, I've played one level of, two levels of, maybe. I need to go back and finish some of that, knock some of that stuff off before I...
Yeah, I need to do that. With the holiday coming up, it's time to catch up, catch up.
So, but there you go. That pretty much wraps it up for me.
Sweet.
And I've got something coming to me via Gamefly. I don't remember if it's Battlefield or something else. I'd have to check my queue.
It'll be a surprise. You open
it
up and like, woo!
Oh, be like, oh! I hope I don't open it up and go, oh.
If it's Battlefield, you'd be doing that.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, snap. We got a Battlefield hater.
Man, I kind of like this Killer Wolverine that actually talks and contributes to the podcast.
Yeah.
He's a special kind of guy.
Anyways, that's it for me. On to you.
Oh, good. Well, I have a very special fondling this week. But I'll start off with the little stuff, which is I finished Bourne Conspiracy. I liked it. It is really short. Like, I literally got to the last level, and I'm like, I wonder how much more the game is. So I feel like I'm about halfway through. I'm like, oh, I'm on the last level. So it's like 5 hours long. Like, wow. That kind of sucks. There's some real frustrating parts in that game, especially with the fist fighting. There's a boss that you have to fight later in the game. You got two minutes to beat him. And with the whole, like, rock, paper, scissors crap where you block... exchange blows, block, exchange blows. Beating somebody in 2 minutes is almost ridiculously impossible. I mean, it took me like 4 or 5 tries to beat him. It's sickening. But I did like it. I really did enjoy the game, and like I was telling Kill Wolverine when he finally got to see the game last night, I'm like, there are so many moments that you just feel like a badass when you're playing the game.
Right.
Like when you get a headshot, it's always satisfying. When you slam somebody's head into a wall during the takedowns or whatever, it's satisfying. All the way to the end, it's satisfying. It makes you feel like Jason Bourne, like you're a badass. I mean, it's got a lot of fundamental flaws, but it does give a good experience.
That last fight was brutal. It's the part you showed me with the shovel.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was brutal. And then shoving his head or banging his head against the cemetery or the
statue.
Stone.
Yeah. I mean, it's satisfying when you beat the hell out of somebody in this game. It's like Viking. It's very satisfying.
And the marks show up, which I didn't notice that before.
Yeah, like they get little bruises and cuts on their face and stuff, which is amazing because as soon as the fist fight's over, Jason's fine.
Oh, yeah.
His face is like automatically heals. Amazing.
He's like Wolverine.
Pretty much.
Or Deadpool.
We already talked about Battlefield Bad Company. We don't need to...
No,
I kind of gave my opinion on that.
Move on.
Happy Tree Friends. I played that. That's... you know, like it.
I'm up in the air. I don't know. Should I buy it? If you have the points, should you buy that one?
I don't know. Let me play it more.
All right.
I played Ticket to Ride, which is the new arcade game, which is, I guess the best way you could describe it is like if you only had railroads in Monopoly.
Yeah, I saw that. As soon as I saw that it was about trains, I skipped over it.
Yeah, it's like you pick out these cards, and each card is like a different color, and then once you have so many colors, you can buy the railroad, and then the objective is to have more railroads than everybody else on the board. And I mean, it's neat. It's different, at least.
Yeah. Basically, it looks like a board game.
It is. It's like Xbox Live Arcade is becoming the home of board games with like Carcassonne and Lost Cities and now Ticket to Ride. I mean, it's along the same lines. It's very similar. A lot of text. It feels very much like an Xbox Live Arcade board game. So if you enjoy those, you'll really enjoy it. I'm sure there's a lot more depth than I've discovered yet, but it's kind of neat. The big surprise for me this week was Kung Fu Panda. And I got this for review, and anytime I get one of these kids' games for review, I'm kind of like, I hope it's good. I love Kung Fu Panda. I absolutely love that game.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. It's a kid's game, but it's really well made. The first thing, and this is going to sound just ridiculous when I say this, but the first game that I felt when I started playing it was Ninja Gaiden for kids.
Well, Kung Fu Panda, Ninja Gaiden.
It's Ninja Gaiden.
Wait, you mean Ninja Gaiden's not for kids already?
No, not at all. But of course, probably there are kids out there that are better at it than I am.
Probably.
But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Panda is it is like an action, like, well, really, Kung Fu game, really.
You're kidding.
But if you've seen the movie and you like the humor in it, it carries a lot of that over, which is good, which most movie games do. But the gameplay is so buttery smooth. It works so well. Like, and there's a ton of moves you can buy. Like, upgrade your guys' moves and, like, movesets and stuff. It's just ridiculous. There's also so many different kinds of levels. Like, the levels are all different. They all feel unique and good. The controls are great. The camera's good. And you even have the right trigger you pull and recenter the camera behind you. So that's why I felt the Ninja Gaiden vibe going on. And the moves are great. The hit detection's great. Everything about it is great. I mean, if you're a fan of the movie, buy this game. I mean, it is worth picking up. If you have kids that are fans of the movie, pick it up for them. It's not, like, ridiculously hard. There's an easy setting, and there's even an invulnerability cheat that you can plug in and let your kids just have fun with it. And it plays really good. And I figured out why. It's made by Luxoflux, which is the same guys that did True Crime Streets of L.A. and Vigilante 8.
Hmm.
So they're the ones that did this game.
Two not-so-very good kid games.
Well, you don't really want to, your kids... Well, Vigilante 8, it's just cars.
Yeah.
So, and they made Star Wars Demolition. So, but they did a really amazing job, and this is one kid's game that I would recommend to just about anybody. You will like it a
lot. Do any dragons or crazy-ass old men show up at the end of Kung Fu Panda?
No. Okay. There is some giant crocodiles, though.
Okay, that fits.
Giant crocodiles.
And gorillas.
Big giant gorillas.
Sounds like a glowing review.
It is. It's also visually pleasing. And the voiceovers, they didn't get everybody. Like, Jackie Chan's not in it. But Jack Black is.
Well, Jackie Chan didn't speak a lot in the movie.
Well, yeah. But his character in the game does speak, and it's not him. The guy tries to impersonate him, but it doesn't
fails.
Work. Yeah. But Jack Black does Poe through the whole game, and it's pretty comical.
Cool.
But it's very good. Also played Naruto. And okay, this is going to be the second longest title of the day. Naruto Ultimate Ninja Hero 2 The Phantom Fortress for the PSP.
Awesome.
For the PSP?
For the PSP. It's, if you played Ultimate Ninja Heroes on the PSP, it's like a fighting game. It's a 3D fighting game in a 2D environment. This is basically the same game. But it's not necessarily a bad thing because it was so good. Really what they did was they added a single-player, like, quest mode. Where you can buy, like, ninja... Or every time you finish a room, you can choose what kind of... It's kind of weird because, like, it looks like a dungeon where you select the different squares for the dungeon. There's 100 rooms in there. You select the dungeon, then you pick a scroll of how you want to play so you can do a mini-game or a battle or stuff. And then every time you finish a room, you earn ninja points. And ninja points will unlock extra stuff. So there is incentive to go through that. The fighting game itself is really good, and it's really simple. Like, literally, the circle button does everything. Like, everything.
Really?
Yeah, the circle button does every attack. Except for, like, the special moves. And then you gotta input, like, button combos to do the special moves. But it's simple, and it's deep. It's like Smash Brothers. It reminds me a lot of Smash Brothers. It's real simple, but it can get real deep if you want it to. So... But if you have a PSP and you're a Naruto fan, you really can't go wrong picking this game up. And then I also am playing Guitar Hero for the DS for review.
Jesus, man!
And I have to say that I really adore what they did. It may not be the best idea because how many people want to play Guitar Hero on the DS, but it really works. Like, it really does. And it's amazing to me how well it works. I'm just enthralled about how well they pulled this off. It gives me high hopes for the next Guitar Hero games because it feels like they're getting used to the, you know, the series. Even though this isn't Neversoft doing this one, it feels like Activision's getting more comfortable with the franchise now. And it excites me for Aerosmith this week, and then, of course, Guitar Hero 4 that's coming out in the fall. But the DS version, if you're a Guitar Hero fan and you don't mind looking like an idiot, like tapping your touchscreen like an air guitar,
yeah,
you should definitely pick it up. Song selection's pretty good, too. It's got Nirvana's Breed. It's got like four or five songs from Guitar Hero 3, including what's the Santana song that was in there?
Black Magic Woman.
And it's got a couple of the No Doubt songs that were downloadable content. It's got Blink 182. I mean, it's got a decent song set.
And the best one they have? Daltrey. I don't know what song it is. I just saw it on the package.
There you go. And the last game I want to talk about is my special game that I want to talk about.
Your special game.
My special game. I have officially dubbed this game My Two Worlds.
Oh, nice.
This is My Two Worlds.
Your Two Worlds.
Well, you see, I was very interested in Alone in the Dark for a long time. I really have been. I like the idea of the episodic game where there's the different chapters and it does the recaps and you can, you know, and I'm a fan of the Alone in the Dark series. I like the series. And then the reviews came out and it was just ripped to utter shreds. People were saying it's awful, it's terrible, there's no redeeming qualities to this game, it's just awful. Here's the thing.
Oh, we've got a here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
See, what had happened was...
The game has a lot of problems. It really does. The control is stiff and stilted. It feels like a lot of things don't work the way they should. The driving mechanics take a long time to get used to. The moving is hard to get used to. The first person perspective is hard to get used to, but it's what the game does that keeps you playing. This is by far the most immersive, one of the most cinematic, and one of the most intriguing games I've ever played.
Wow.
Like, when you start the game, it makes you do a lot of things that you don't think about when you're playing games. Like, when you first start the game, you're unconscious, you're laying on a bed, you wake up, you have to blink your eyes to straighten your vision. You have to continuously keep blinking them because you're out of whack. And you just click the right stick to keep blinking your eyes. So then you clear your vision and then you start going fade again. You click it and you get a fade again. And then when you're going through the game, there's different areas of the game that it does things that it just draws you into it. Like in the first level, you're literally climbing on the outside of a building. You're hanging from the ledges, climbing across the building. And while this is happening, the building is falling apart while you're climbing across it. So as you're climbing across the ledge will fall, and you'll go with it and climb with it. And while you're looking at a perspective from up here, you're looking down on the street up the side of the building, and there is shit blowing up on the ground. And literally cars will come flying up at you while you're climbing across this ledge. And it's so cinematic, and it just breaks off parts of the building as you're doing it. And it's just, it's incredible. And then you get into the second part where you're driving through the city as it's destroying itself. Cars are flying at your face. The road's tearing up in front of you. And it'll slow down and show you doing things going over the ledges and stuff. And it's just, it's one of the most amazing experiences. It has so many ideas in it that work, like the inventory system. You know, in most survival horror games, you have so many slots that you can carry your items in. Well, in this game, your inventory system is literally your jacket. You press down on the D-pad, he looks down and opens his jacket. You see his gun on his chest, his flashlight on his chest, his items in the left side, and his items in the right side. The game doesn't pause for this. So if you're in the middle of a battle and you need to do something in your jacket, you better know what you're doing. And not only that, but you can collect different things, like in Resident Evil, like you can collect empty bottles, bottles full of alcohol, bandages, duct tape. I mean, you're fucking MacGyver in here, like literally. And like you can take the tape, wrap it around a bottle, makes it a sticky bomb. Then you can take the bandage, stick it in the bottle, make it a sticky Molotov cocktail.
Nice.
And you can put like the bottle in this hand and a lighter in this hand and light it and throw it. Like there's literally a puzzle in the game, which is this little creature running around, and he's the only one that can go through this hallway, but I need to destroy something in this hallway, but it's blocked by a gate. And in order to get through the gate, I need to destroy the enemy behind the gate. So what I do is I wait for the little guy to come out. I made a Molotov cocktail, wrapped the tape around it, put the bandage in it, lit it, threw it, stuck it to him, let him carry it back inside, and blew the thing up. And there's many other ways to do the different puzzles in the game. Like, you literally have to sit there and think, like, fire becomes a huge part in this game. It shouldn't have been called Alone in the Dark. It should be called Alone in the Fire. It really should have, because the enemies can only be killed with fire. You have a gun, but bullets won't kill the enemies. So what you have to do is you have to take the bullets in your gun and pour alcohol on them in order to create fire bullets. And then once you have the fire bullets, you can kill the enemies. You can also take items from the environment, light them on fire, and use them to guide your way or to burn stuff, including enemies. The health system is also very innovative. Is like you get these health sprays, and if you get hurt, there's no health bar, so you just know because the screen starts darkening or whatever. And like you press the left or right on the D-pad, and he'll go into like a first person, and you'll see him like, and he'll have to spray the wounds in real time. So you have to spray the wounds, and if you cut yourself so bad that you're bleeding, like you're bleeding deeply, a little timer will come up, and it'll give you so much time before you bleed to death. And what you have to do is you have to take a bandage and wrap it around your arm in order to heal that.
Nice.
So there's no traditional health system. You just have to find the stuff that you need and you carry it in your jacket. And then you can do all these different kinds of combinations with the stuff in your jacket.
Dude.
But like I said, here's the problem. The game plays like ass some of the times. Like certain simple movements such as like aiming at an enemy become a chore. Because the game switches between first and third person, you can't shoot in third person. You have to shoot in first person. If you want to put a fire out with a fire extinguisher, you have to do it in first person. You can't do it in third person. And sometimes it can get awkward of what it makes you do in first person opposed to what it makes you do in third person. You can melee combat in third person, which involves you using the right analog stick to hit people. So, like, you pull back on it, and he pulls his weapon back, and then you push forward, and he slams it into their head. You know, and it is clunky. Like, there are times that I've died when I shouldn't have. Because the controls feel very tank-like, like Resident Evil.
Gotcha.
So, it's one of those games that if you just look at its mechanics, you will think it's a bad game. But if you take the time and play it and look at all that, like, there's even a scene where you resuscitate somebody, and you have to do different things that make sense. You can hotwire cars. When you get in a car, this is how immersive the game is. When you get in a car, you can literally look in the visor, see if the keys are there. If the keys aren't there, you can look down and hotwire the car. Then it goes into first person, it shows you with the wires, and you got to sit here and use the analog sticks and hotwire the car. You can also change seats in the car and go through the glove box.
Nice.
And every puzzle has different ways you can solve it. Which is really cool. Like, I was playing, and I had a bag of blood. Well, the blood would... I couldn't figure out what to do with the blood, and I was trying to attract these monsters. Well, if you take a knife, you can cut the blood open and just make a trail on the ground. Or you can tape the blood with the tape and make a sticky blood. I mean, there's just so many ways to do everything in the game that it really draws you... It feels immersive because there is no pause when you look at your items. There is no pause when you heal yourself. There is no pause, like, while you're playing. Everything's in real time, just like it would be in real life. You couldn't pause the game and go load your gun or anything,
right.
You know. So,
yeah. I like watching it. I don't know about playing it. I love watching it.
That's the thing, is if you're watching, it's one of the best games to watch, but the controls can get on your nerves until you get used to them. It's like the first time you played Resident Evil or the first time you played Silent Hill and you're running around and you're like, oh my god, these controls are awful.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to feel that with Alone in the Dark until you get used to it. Until you get used to it, you are really going to be pissed off. And I think that's what happened to a lot of the people that reviewed it. They played it, and they were like, ugh.
Yeah, they didn't want to get used to it.
They didn't give the game any chance. And literally, here's another cool thing that you can literally go to the last level of the game as soon as you turn it on. You can go to Chapter 8 and play that. Because the game is like a DVD. It has chapters and levels. You can go to any one and play it in any order you want.
Yeah, I heard it's basically like a season box set.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is, because here's one of the best things about this game. I wish every game did this. When you quit the game, say you save and quit, and you go out, when you come back, when you hit continue, it'll come up with a title screen that says, previously on Alone in the Dark, and it will recap everything you've done to that point. It will show like a quick 2-minute clip of everything you've done.
Nice.
And it will recap the entire story for you, highlighting the big points. And it changes every time. Like, after I did it after the first level, it recapped basically all of the first level. And then I come back on the fifth level, it gives me like a couple seconds of the first level, a couple seconds of the second level, and it kind of skips around. And after every level you beat, there's credits.
Nice.
So it's like a TV show. And literally,
awesome.
If you're playing the game and you get to a point that you hate, you can pause the game and skip to the next chapter. Just like a movie.
Nice.
And you're like, last time on Alone in the Dark. Oh, okay. That's what that scene was about. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you haven't played the game for a couple weeks, you come back and you hit continue, it'll go previously Alone in the Dark, and it'll show you everything. It'll recap you on the story. But it's officially my two worlds of 2008.
Wow. Your two worlds, huh?
Yep.
It gets the two worlds award for the crappy game that you enjoy.
Two worlds award. I see the Two Worlds Award is not the crappy game that you like. It's the crappy game that has so many great ideas that you can't help but love it as long as you're willing to give it a chance.
Right.
That's the Two Worlds Award.
And this goes out to Professor Chaos. If he hasn't changed his gamer quote by the time he listens to this, change your fucking quote. It's not supposed to be Resident Evil 4. Douchebag.
What's his quote?
He says, RE4 Alone in the Dark ain't.
Oh.
And I'm like, you know, that's fine. But you know what? The way that Alone in the Dark handles immersion, Resident Evil 4 can't touch. And I will say that. Now, I'm not saying... See, there goes the internet exploding. Alone in the Dark is not a better game than Resident Evil 4. Let that go. Alone in the Dark's immersion will just amaze you.
So basically, it's kind of comparable to like a point-and-click PC adventure game, almost.
Yeah, but you actually do play in, like, an action game.
Yeah, but I mean, the mentality of the game, besides the fact that it controls completely different.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You will hate the controls.
There's no question about it.
I still hate the controls. I have gotten used to them to the point where I can function, but I still die when I shouldn't because of the controls. And yes, that is frustrating. But it keeps me playing. I think I'm on chapter 5 of 8 right now. And
okay.
I absolutely love what has happened so far. I love so many little things about the game. I keep wanting to play it. And it's just incredible. I don't think I'll ever go back and play it again except to get some of the achievements, but it's a really good experience. I would recommend anybody to rent it or Gamefly it or something like that and play through it, because it is absolutely worth playing through if you can get by some of the crap. So,
sounds pretty good.
And I fought so hard whether or not to buy this game, and I went out and read the reviews. And I have to give a shout to the guy on 1UP that reviewed the game. When I heard him talk about it, I knew it had problems, but I knew there was something special there that deserved to be played. And that's why I gave it a chance, and I am not disappointed.
Cool.
But that wraps up my following. This week I'm going to play more Alone in the Dark. It's a holiday week, so I plan on playing Alone in the Dark, some more Battlefield Bad Company. Hopefully I'll get my Guitar Hero Aerosmith, and I'll be able to play that. Probably pick up some more Lego Indiana Jones, finish off Kung Fu Panda for review, and a lot of games this week.
And you call it a day.
Yeah. A lot of ketchup this week. No mustard, though. That wraps that up, so now it's time to go into news.
And now, News for Gamers Internet Star Radio program proudly presents News Quickies, brought to you by Wilson's Bandana Supply Company. Because whether you're a clone on a solo sneaking mission, or a karate master fighting in a world karate tournament, if you don't have a Wilson's bandana, you're just a douche with a stupid haircut. And now your host, Zero Tolerance.
Wow. That's awesome sauce.
Yeah.
All right, we got a lot of news this week. We'll cut mine out of the way first because I only had two pieces that Mr. Killer Wolverine missed in his weekly wrap-up.
I didn't miss him. I just got him too late.
You got him too late,
yeah.
Which is fine. His weekly roundup will be back next week. And speaking of which, we have a contest.
Uh-oh.
For the people who want to name his weekly news segment that will be going on the site on Fridays, every Friday, weekly roundup. If you can come up with the best name, the winner of the best name will receive from us a free copy of Commando, Wolf of the Battlefield for the PlayStation 3. Now, this is for the PlayStation 3, so we have this to give out. So if you can come up with the best name for this, we will give you a free copy of Commando, Wolf of the Battlefield for the PlayStation 3. Thanks to our good friends at Capcom.
Our good friends.
They treat us all right.
They treat us good.
It's all right. It's all right.
I have gotten the okay to give away these codes, and I would like to thank the design director at Capcom for hooking us up with some free codes to give away of this awesome game. So if you come up with a better name for this news segment, send it to us, and we will send you the free code when we choose your name.
And you will, because you're a hell of a lot more creative than us.
This is true, because Weekly Roundup was the best I could come up with.
Yeah, why do you think half of our show is you guys asking us questions? Because we couldn't come up with any content for the rest of it.
All right, the first big piece of news is dropped Friday afternoon. A couple of screenshots showed up on the web of Microsoft's answer to Home and the Miis. In one simple thing, and it's called My Gamer Pad. And it looks like Home in a kitty version. Like, the characters look all little, like, they look like better. They're like in between Miis and the Home characters,
right.
And it's Home.
That it basically looks like a mixture between Home and the Nintendo Mii system.
And it's called My Gamer Pad. And our guess is that this will show up at E3. This is going to be Microsoft's big casual gaming push at E3.
And it'll be out before Home will.
Probably.
And I will. And yeah. I will still not care less about it.
I probably won't either. I really.
The Mii thing I like because
if it shows, but see, the thing is that I've heard that these are going to show up in games.
No, that yes.
Like
see,
the characters will show up in games, which is very
cool. That's why I love the Mii from Nintendo because number one, you can use it in the games.
Yes.
And number two, it's a lot more personable than just an avatar, than just a picture.
Yeah.
So I do like that idea. I'm glad they stole that. But the Home thing, I could care less because I could care less about Home.
My gamer pad is obviously you're going to have a little pad.
Right.
That you can decorate, and while I will toy around with it at Home, and I will toy around with it in my gamer pad, I do not care.
Right. Like we said before with Home, people will play it for 2 weeks and then
be done with it.
Yeah, they won't really care anymore.
But it is nice to see Microsoft doing something for an answer, I guess.
Yeah.
Because the Miis are cool, and Home is a cool idea, so I guess this is another thing. But like I said, to the hardcores, this doesn't matter.
Right.
This isn't a big deal. Just like Home shouldn't be, and I don't know why it is.
Right.
I just want functionality.
Right.
The second thing, made my nipples hard. Can't help it. Can't help it.
Yeah, I thought he was going to go with made my day. I didn't know he was going to go with that extreme. That guy.
Mega Man 9, we talked about this rumor. It has been confirmed. It is coming to WiiWare. Wait, there's more. It is made by Keiji Inafune, the original creator of Mega Man 2. And it's completely done in NES sprites. It looks like Mega Man 2. And he also said that he hopes to make this the best Mega Man game ever, even better than 2. All the bosses were announced. We had Plug Man, which just is ripe for jokes.
Plug Man.
Plug Man. And a woman. Splash Woman.
Hmm.
For the first time ever, there's a woman boss, Master Robot.
That's interesting.
The screenshots, man, I thought that I saw an issue of Nintendo Power from 1988. I really did.
Yeah.
Because it is. And he said, literally, he's like, I'm making this downloadable and I'm making it like this for the fans because if I released it as a retail disc, I don't want to hear the critics complain that I didn't advance the genre.
Right.
This game is for the fans.
Right.
So.
Well, hopefully it'll be released for the other two platforms.
Yeah, we've only heard WiiWare. It hasn't been confirmed for any other system except for WiiWare. But I would not rule out Xbox Live and PSN because it will sell.
Yeah.
Especially if you add achievements to the 360 version and home integration into the PSN version. So, but yeah. Mega Man 9, 8 Master Robots, NES sprites.
I'm excited.
I'm very excited.
Made by Keiji Inafune. I just want to say thanks, Keiji.
Yeah.
That's
he ain't listening to the show.
If it, you know, if it gets around to him, I want him to know.
No, nobody he knows is listening to the show.
I want him to know. Hey, the design director at Capcom listens to us. Maybe he can tell him. Tell Inafune, thank you. We love you.
You sure he listens to the show? He doesn't just assume that we talk about his stuff?
No. No, he's a fan.
Okay. Well, he's that's awesome.
Alright.
Sweet!
Now we go into Killer Wolverine's new segment. I noticed we'll have to ad-lib on some of this. You have the Weezer pack listed as last week's DLC, but there was also the Pixies.
I didn't care about the Pixies. I chose
News is not biased, okay, buddy?
I'm biased. This is my section. I'm biased.
You're really not helping your cause to be the news editor here? I'm just throwing that out there.
Kidding. Damn.
But did you have the new guitar or the new Rock Band tracks for this week? It's the Crew Pack. The Motley Crue pack.
Nice.
Oh, is that coming out this
it's
week?
It's got Motley Crue, a song from them, a song from the band called Trapped.
Trapped?
Really?
Trapped.
Oh, yeah. That's a trap.
Awful.
And something else. I can't remember what the third one was. But the Weezer pack is out. It's three songs. Same price as always. And then the Doolittle album is like $19. The Pixies.
Yeah.
Doolittle.
It's,
it's like $19.
It's ridiculous.
And then
price.
Guitar Hero got Coldplay.
Yep.
Crickets.
I like Coldplay.
40-year-old version joke.
Frontline's Fuel of War got an update on June 20th. I'm not going to go through all of the features.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Because it's like two pages.
Does the update include anybody actually playing the game?
Probably not.
Me.
Okay, does the update include anybody other than Zero actually playing the game?
Update on Frontline Fuel of War. Nobody cares.
I will kill you. And there's a lot of fixes, a lot of changes to the game. If you're a fan of it, I would look on. Where'd you pull this from?
Oh, shit, dude. I don't remember.
Okay, well.
It's on there. I don't remember.
N4G has it.
So, Zero.
Yes.
So you pick and choose the news
you
want.
How would
you
compare?
You don't know the sites to source.
I don't remember. I quoted it. I have it on there. I just don't remember. How much shit do I put on there, man? I don't remember all this.
Hey, Zero. How would you compare Battlefield Bad Company to Frontlines?
See, I'm about to explode the internet right here, but I like Frontlines more than I like Battlefield.
Oh, God. So
I mean, it just... And I don't like either one of them that well.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But I had more fun playing Frontlines, and I guess it was because...
And you know what? With as much trouble as I had with the AI in Frontlines, they're a lot smarter in Frontlines than Bad Company.
Man. Like, my guys in Bad Company don't do anything.
Yeah, they don't
do
shit.
I literally have never seen them do anything, and I really need them to do something.
Which is... I had a couple instances in Frontlines where there was an enemy in front of one of my teammates, and he would just be shooting or sitting there shooting him and missing, and I had to shoot the bad guy. In Bad Company, same thing happened, but no one was firing. The AI teammate was just sitting there looking right at him. Right at him.
That's terrible, man.
It's awful.
Yeah, sounds like it.
All right, next up, Ubisoft announced that it will launch a new label dedicated to making party games for the Wii. Who'd have thunk? The new label is called Playzone, and the first title to be released is called Sports Party.
Nobody will buy party games on the Wii.
Carnival Games rules your face.
Wii Play rules my face.
Here are some key features. 9 different disciplines. Challenge family and friends to basketball, 3 different mini games, croquet, lawn darts, bat. They didn't pick good sports. What the hell?
You don't like lawn darts?
No. Badminton, volleyball, horseshoes, and mini golf.
I don't like lawn darts since they outlawed the cool lawn darts. The sharp
ones.
They've got the stupid ones with the flower head on the bottom of it.
That's lame.
Short gaming sessions, have a break, and change sports as often as desired. Practice a few minutes and challenge whoever is around.
Wow. And that's supposed to be a special feature.
For the whole this is a bullet point, buddy. This is going on the back of the box.
Ooh.
For the whole family, 3 different difficulties that fit with the skills of all family members and friends. Wii Remote-based gameplay, thanks to intuitive motion controls, instantaneously enjoy any sport. God, I sound like a PR person.
Yeah.
It will be available July 11th. Boy, they really put a lot of R&D into that.
We can't confirm or deny whether or not once you actually open the box, there's a little note in there that says, ha-ha, sucker.
EA spoofs Gears of War, Rainbow Six, and Metal Gear Solid with Battlefield Bad Company trailers. I have a lot of jokes there. Just going to let them go. Shouldn't make fun of three games that are better than yours.
You should say, Gears of War, Rainbow Six, and Metal Gear Solid spoof Battlefield Bad Company with actually having good gameplay.
Oh, snap. Snap.
Snap.
Eidos has launched the Tomb Raider portal. This is a destination for fans of the series to find the latest news, art, and announcements regarding the new game, Tomb Raider Underworld.
Which is sort of like Metal Gear.
I hope they go back in time to 1998 when Tomb Raider had strong fan base.
Man, you did not play Legend.
I did play. I beat Legend. Don't tell me I didn't play Legend.
Legend was awesome.
I loved Legend. All I'm saying is that Tomb Raider is not as popular now as it was in 1998.
It's still.
Am I wrong?
It's still good.
Am I wrong?
I didn't say you were wrong, but damn it, it's a good game.
There you go.
Don't talk down on Lara Croft.
I was just making a popularity comment. I love Tomb Raider.
All right. Metal Gear Solid 5 could be a prequel.
I think that that's a little late, couple weeks. I think they debunked that.
What?
I think
Why are you putting it on your list then? Do more research.
This is like 2 weeks old, dude. Jesus, I told you.
Oh, man.
This is too... Some of this shit is old.
And in other news, Killer Wolverine quit his position as N4G news editor.
He was fired today.
This was old. God damn it.
Star Wars lightsaber duels has been announced for the Wii. It will take place during the Clone Wars. Expect this title during the holiday season. And who didn't expect this to happen?
And expect this title to suck, too.
According to Newsweek's Level Up blog, Neil Young, not the singer,
oh,
the 11-year veteran of Electronic Arts, will be leaving to run his own company.
I'm sure by now he's already left.
Because it's 2 weeks old, right?
Paint updates will be available by the time you read this, but you're not going to read it by the time you hear this. New modes, environments, and characters. Probably 99 cents a piece like all the other ones have.
Whatever, man. I thought it was cool. I like that game.
If you are a Prince of Persia fan, go to the website, like, right now. You can vote for one of the...
Like, right now.
Like, right now.
Like, right now.
You can vote for one of the achievements that will be in the 360 version. But don't fret, PS3 owners. There's something planned for you.
Why is Justin not reading this?
I don't know.
He didn't need to read it.
You want me to read it?
No, you can just continue to comment on it. We'll just continue to make fun of you.
And we'll just continue to belittle your news editing skill.
Everything I do, you must naysay.
All right, next up. No, this is good. See, I'm using it.
All right.
Shooter fans rejoice. Kinda. Raiden 4 has been announced for Xbox. Shut up. Raiden 4.
You just played a game that said the word Raiden probably about 40 times in it.
And I also played a game called Mortal Kombat where his name was Raiden.
That's true.
So, don't judge me.
That's true.
Raiden 4.
But he wasn't Japanese.
No, but he was a god.
That's true.
Raiden 4 will be released on September 11th. In Japan.
Oh.
With no official announcement of it coming to the U.S., but Killer Wolverine is betting that it will.
Oh, hell yeah, it better.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
It's a good game.
It's just solid.
According to the Offspring's website, they will be releasing more DLC for Rock Band. The tracks will include All I Want. From Crazy Taxi. I mean, from their album, Ixnay on the Ombre.
Yeah.
Come Out and Play. Gotta Keep Them Separated. Gone Away. The Kids Aren't Alright. Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Uno, dos, tres.
Yeah. And Self-Esteem. So.
I hope somebody goes back in time to 1998 when the...
I'm gonna punch you in the stomach! According to Kotaku, the rumor that we reported on with Forza 3 being two discs, well, that's not going to happen. One way or another, the core game will be shipped on a single disc, and content will not be sacrificed.
And that's a quote, too.
Say it with me.
That's a quote.
Rumor time! Infinity Ward is working on a title that's sci-fi based. So definitely not World War II.
Call of Duty sci-fi.
Yeah, because there won't be a number on it.
Call of Duty...
And in Call of Duty News, according to Treyarch, from here on out, there will be no more numbers.
Nice.
For Call of Duty.
Yeah,
according to videogaming247.com, Beatles reps are in talk with both Activision and MTV to create a game based on the group's music.
Interesting.
A whole new game?
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
The PSN point cards have hit the market. Sort of.
What do you mean, sort of? Please.
They were spotted at a Meijer in the Midwest.
Oh.
So why can't we find them? Well, they're allegedly in beta.
What?
Spotted the point cards at a Meijer in the Midwest.
In the Midwest. See, there's several games I want to get on PSN, but I'm waiting for these cards, and I've been waiting for them for like 4 months now.
Well, you're going to have to keep waiting.
Yeah.
And Snake, we've got imagery beta? From a civilian satellite
that's
in the Midwest.
That's
spotting
lame.
The PSN point cards at a Meijer.
That's lame.
Spotted the PSN cards at a Meijer in the Midwest?
According to Geek Pulp, New Zealand's largest independent gaming store, the Games Man will soon be bought out by EB Games. What? I thought GameStop bought out EB Games. So do they mean GameStop bought out the Games? You're confusing me.
Well, I think it's still called EB Games.
Over there?
And in Canada. I think it's
really?
Still called EB Games.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I just thought GameStop.
Know. But the company is GameStop.
All right. As we have already said, the Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix Beta went up on 625.
Yeah.
So for all of you that bought Commando 3 for the beta, we'll be able to play it. But you should have also played Commando 3, just like you should have played Crackdown. You know who you are.
Have you, I forgot to mention that I played the Street Fighter beta, too.
Yes, we all played the Street Fighter beta, and we didn't even talk about it.
No, I know.
It's the awesome sauce.
It was awesome.
It's the awesome sauce, but we didn't talk about it because it's only two characters, one level.
There you go.
Damn it.
We talked a little bit about it when Gambus was...
Yes, when Gambus was going on. About his fondling.
About his fondling. Indubitably. His fondling.
All right, here's a list of games that will most likely be shown at E3 from Nintendo. Wii Music.
That's that symphony game?
Yeah, you remember? The one Miyamoto was waggling around some orchestra to?
Yeah, like 3 years ago.
Animal Crossing for the Wii. That was announced 3 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
Wii Motorsports. Fire Emblem for the DS. Kirby Super Star Deluxe for the DS. Kirby Wii. Blue Dragon Plus for the Wii.
Interesting.
Disaster Day of Crisis for the Wii.
Finally.
Mario Baseball Stadium for the Wii.
Hmm.
Wario Land, the Shake Dimension. Guess which system that's for?
Let me guess. The system with Waggle.
Fatal Frame for the Wii.
Sweet.
Fatal Frame 4, actually. And Kid Icarus, which is rumored to be shown.
Yeah.
So, we'll finally get a follow-up to that game, like anybody really wanted it.
Hopefully it'll be okay.
You're just saying that because Brian's not here.
That's probably true. Actually, it would be more fun if he was here.
It's true.
PSN update 2.4 to give custom soundtracks. But here's the next part of that rumor. Expect it on July 15th. Maybe 5 minutes after the Sony press conference. Kind of like Doom.
It's also supposed to have the Marketplace has, if we can download movies.
Yeah,
but no one signed on to do it. Yeah, but no movies company signed on to do it
yet.
Yeah,
but Sony Pictures is big enough that they can just stock it with their own stuff
but
for now.
No one else is officially signed on. So.
You know, I'm looking forward to the day, which will probably be
a Thursday.
Yeah, it'll be on a Thursday.
It's a Wednesday, actually.
I'm looking forward to the day, like in the next couple of years from now, when PSN actually catches up with Xbox Live, how they were 3 years ago. So...
All right. There
now
you go.
I'm wondering if once that magical day comes and PSN does catch up with Xbox Live, I'm wondering if Xbox Live will continue to be $50 a year.
It probably will be.
I don't see him changing that.
That would be my guess.
Because they're just so ahead of the game.
I don't really see him changing it. So,
according to EGM, Microsoft is going to announce a huge price cut for the 360 this year.
Which I also read that some Kmart and wherever announced that in their weekly ad already, so it could have happened.
Microsoft,
yeah,
just can't
it was
anything.
Kmart. They announced $299 for the Pro,
so it might be happening this week.
Microsoft just can't hide shit.
No,
they
can't. They're terrible at it.
Nothing. Assassin's Creed 2 won't be
Electric
released.
Boogaloo.
Won't be released until there's more anticipation for it. So, for those of you that like the game and want more, you'd best go out and start a petition or something. Because that quote was from the president of Ubisoft North America.
Huh.
By the time this is read, I won't say posted because it ain't going to get posted.
No.
Your PSP will have an update. Version 4.01 will update the following. Display of search results under internet search has been improved for certain languages, and playback of video content under video has been improved for certain file types. So, it's really a very minor update.
Indeed.
So why did I just read all that?
I don't know.
Another rumor from Eggum.
Eggum.
Kratos from God of War is going to be in Soul Calibur 4.
They're trying to make me buy the PS3 version
of this game. But the question is, who's the other 360 character? Would it be Hayabusa?
Doubt it.
Snap.
Because he's in Dead or Alive.
Yep.
True that.
It'd be nice.
Well, then again, you know, Tecmo's got rid of Itagaki. They can do whatever they want.
That's true.
Echochrome levels are on their way. There are more than 30 of them, and they will be released over the next few weeks and feature the best fan-created maps from North America. According to Stefan Boll, no relation to Uwe, chairman of Nintendo France.
So if he's listening to this, he's really pissed off at the way we were counting this morning when we started.
The Wii has sold 26 million units in the world.
That's sick.
That's disgusting.
Sony expects the PSP will be around for 10 years.
Okay.
10 years. Here's some good news for all you Mortal Kombat versus DC will have fatalities. But only the MK characters and DC villains. So what will the DC heroes have? Well, they will have brutality, so they will beat the unholy crap out of each other.
But not kill them.
Hopefully that will appease all you naysayers. Oh, and another thing you forgot to list is the characters that were confirmed for the game, which were Sonya, Jax, Cabal, Sub-Zero, Scorpion, Green Lantern, Flash, Wonder Woman, Power Girl, Hawkman, and Robin?
And Catwoman.
Catwoman was
confirmed? They announced Catwoman today.
Oh, snap. I didn't see that.
So let me get this straight. Power Girl.
Yes.
You just made my day.
I hope so. Oh, and then, of course,
Superman, Batman. Power Girl?
Yes.
That's the most generic name I've ever heard in my life.
We don't need to do this again. You know you will lose that.
Power Girl is awesome.
Yeah. God of War 3 will be at E3. So it's a 3.
Rumored still.
No, they announced it.
It'll be there. Did they? Official. Yep.
Nice.
If you want to see a small screen of Duke Nukem Forever, just close your eyes and dream.
Which is more than you've seen for the last 10 years.
You know something? By this time, I'll just name the freaking game Duke Nukem Never.
Never. I knew that was coming.
Here's another good old rumor. We'll tell you what's up with Microsoft. New hardware options. It may sound totally insane. Trust us, we did a double take the first time the Q man from EGM whispered it in our ears. But word has it Microsoft may begin allowing third-party manufacturers to create Xbox 360 hardware.
What?
And we're not talking about peripherals, people. We mean hardware that runs 360 game discs created by someone other than Microsoft.
Who knows? Maybe they'll work better.
There you go. Maybe they'll have a 15%.
I might actually buy a couple, you know, just to have some stable hardware.
Only if Tonka makes one, then I'll buy one. What? Five publishers have not renewed their memberships for the ESA. That'd be Crave, Activision, Vivendi, LucasArts, and id have all broken ties with the ESA, possibly due to rising cost of membership fees. But what that basically means is these guys will not be at E3.
Oh, right.
So,
you know something? A tear just ran down my face. Not... Okay.
Oh, I thought you had something else. According to Sony's fiscal 2008 annual report, they reveal that the company lost roughly $3.3 billion because of the PlayStation 3 hardware cost.
That's just the PlayStation 3 division.
Interesting.
Billion.
Billion? Oh my God.
$3.3 million.
Some of that they made back. Metal PSP.
And they made some of that back with Metal Gear sales, too.
Right.
And then finally, Rainbow Six Vegas has a fan pack coming in July for 360, PS3, and PC. This pack offers three new multiplayer maps, included two relit maps, and the fan favorite from Rainbow Six Vegas. The maps are Calypso Casino, the fan favorite from Rainbow Six Vegas, is backed by popular demand. All Rainbow Six Vegas 2 game modes are supported, including co-op Terrorist Hunt. The other map is Murder Town Dark and CQB Training Dark. There will be more aces, new ranks. Aces will be extended to 100 for each of the three categories. Grenade Indicator while inside damage radius of a frag or incendiary grenade. Tons of new features that you can look up, because I'm not going to read all that.
Yeah, there's a few.
So. Holy shit. Okay. By the time you read this, you can download the song I Am Murloc for Guitar Hero 3, which is from World of Warcraft. And it's not bad.
It's all right.
It's all right. Madden 2009's gone gold already. All right.
Yeah, because they just used the last one with updated rosters.
Here's a big one. According to N4G, our big sister, Nintendo Power might unveil Kingdom Hearts 3 in next month's issue.
Blow.
So, why would Nintendo Power unveil that game?
Uh-oh.
Unless it's Wii exclusive.
Oh, snap! Snap!
I love the Kingdom Hearts series, so...
Kingdom Hearts is pretty cool.
I'm looking forward to the next one.
SOCOM Confrontation will ship with a headset, and yes, it's licensed by Sony.
And you know what? It's a really cool-looking headset.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's cool-looking. It's Bluetooth, just like the other ones,
right.
And it's just like the earpiece, but it's very slick. And it comes with its own little stand, charger stand.
Oh, that's nice.
We already knew this, but Time Splitters 4 is coming.
And they had the first screenshots of it up. It doesn't look too bad.
It's all right.
It's all right.
DC fans... The MMO is still coming.
Yep.
And I'm not going to read your comment.
Oh, come on. Wow.
Marvel's MMO would have been better.
Whatever.
There, I read it for you.
Yeah, because you just have a bunch of Wolverines running around. Little fruits. And the new Castlevania game is called Khalid.
What?
You really need a spell checker.
Yeah, you also...
Didn't say them all.
You did the wrong there a couple ways up.
Oh, did I? Yeah. My bad.
The new Castlevania game is called Castlevania Judgment. It is a 3D fighter. How about that?
Interesting.
You know something? I'm going to say, until it proves me wrong, this game's going to be a disaster.
I agree.
You know what? I can't believe that this wasn't on the news list.
Oh, snap.
So I'm going to go ahead and add the fact that Blizzard officially announced Diablo 3.
Oh, that was late in the week. That was Friday.
Yeah.
That's
why.
And they have the first gameplay videos. And it's awesome. Oh, it looks so good.
So does StarCraft 2, but you know we're not playing either one of them until at least 2015.
I don't care. It looks so good. It looks just like the old Diablo games. It's got the same isometric point of view. Same, you know, kind of dungeon crawling, hack and slash gameplay, but the graphics are gorgeous. If you haven't seen the gameplay video yet, look it up. Look up Diablo 3 gameplay video, because it's... awesome.
They have a forum up too, I thought.
Yeah.
I read. And I don't know if anyone cares, or I don't know how old this news is, but the Slimline PS3 might be shown too here soon.
Mm.
So I don't know. I don't know if anyone. I don't know.
All right. It's time to answer some questions.
What? You have something?
I think Dan has got something. What do you got?
Yeah. Well, does he want to do his thing?
Yeah.
Before we answer questions, we're going to let him do his little rant here.
Okay. I got a little rant for you.
We got five minutes with Gambus Khan here.
Okay.
Five minutes with the Khan.
I will cut you off, too.
Okay. Okay. This might be a little bit controversial.
Uh-oh.
A little disclaimer.
It might have some obscenities.
Perhaps some obscenities. I have to do this disclaimer. Some things that I might say might offend you. If you wear a hood or a pointy hat in public, this could offend you. If you're a complete geek and loser, this just might offend you.
Wow. Before you continue, that is the greatest disclaimer of all time. Continue.
Okay. I was going through the news in N4G, and I saw that there was a new video of a game called Final Fantasy Dissidia, Disgaea, something. I don't even know what it is.
Dissidia,
yeah. There you go. I'll just call it Final Fantasy D-, because it looks one step better than terrible. I heard it was a fighting game for the PSP, and I heard that it, you know, has characters from all the Final Fantasy games in it. And I was just like, I didn't really care about it, because here's the thing about Final Fantasy. You know, Final Fantasy, when you see video like back in the day, back in the late 90s, when you saw a video of the new game, it was like, oh my God, that's awesome. Like when I first saw video footage of Final Fantasy VII, it was just, I was awestruck. When I saw the opening cinema of Final Fantasy VIII with the choir music.
Please hold.
Yeah, it was fantastic, you know. But now I see this video of a piece of crap game coming out for PSP. I mean, I played it, right? I started playing the video, and visuals look about as good as Kingdom Hearts. I was like, okay, and it looks just like Kingdom Hearts. I mean, it's probably the Kingdom Hearts
engine
system engine, and it's a fighting game. And you see, all these characters have nothing to do with each other. You know, Squall and Cloud and that one dude from Nine. And
that's his name, actually. That's how he's credited.
Yeah.
Does it have Thethel in it?
It probably does. It showed so many different characters, and art styles clash. Like, you'll have, like, a serious-looking character, super cartoony-looking character, a character that looks like somewhere in between, and they're all, like, stand beside each other, fighting each other. And I'm just like, Jesus. And the thing is, the game doesn't even look that good at all. And, dude, Final Fantasy has been, it used to be a series of greatness. Now it's been de-evolved into a freaking fanboy masturbation.
Wow. You know what? I think we can all just pretty much take the headsets off and quit.
I mean, I was expecting in this video...
You just won the podcast.
I'm just expecting in this video to see Squall and Cloud walk down the aisle holding hand in hand, just got married. I mean, this really is like terrible... terrible fan fiction.
Terrible.
At its worst. I mean, it's basically like if they took every suggestion of like fan fiction of like, why do you want a Final Fantasy game? And said, okay, we're going to let you just make the game. And everybody got their say-so. The cluster crap that you would have, it manifested itself into this game. I mean, literally, and if that wasn't bad enough, after seeing this video, I started looking at the comments. Oh my God, this looks incredible! Oh my God, I can't wait! And somebody said, "Oh, the part where it shows Sephiroth walking through the flames, it made every hair on my back stand up." And I'm just thinking, dude, I've seen Sephiroth walking through flames like 100 times already. I mean, if this is what it takes, if this stupid fan favorite scene is all it takes to get you excited about a game, then I guess you fans, Final Fantasy fans, I mean, I don't even want to be known as a Final Fantasy fan. I don't want to be in the same class as a Final Fantasy fan, because the new term that I have for a Final Fantasy fan is called a lemming.
Wow.
Yeah, and you'll just follow Squaresoft off the freaking cliff, and it's...
Man.
Yeah. And that's about the end of my rant. So
you get props from me.
Thank you very much.
You get big props.
We need one of those at least every month.
Oh yeah, guaranteed. I love the...
We're gonna call it ranting with the cod.
I love the... I've seen Sephiroth walk through fire 100 times. That's great. He's got a degree in walking through fire.
Yeah.
All right.
He got his MBA from University of Phoenix Online. And walking through fire.
You watch way too much infomercial television. Yeah. All right. Time to answer some questions. First question comes from Silfo. It says, firstly, with Burnout Paradise receiving its major game-changing content, codenamed Cagney, in July, will any of you be revisiting Paradise City?
I'm going to wait for Lacey.
The content is free, by the way, if that helps. Actually, I just repurchased Burnout Paradise.
Nice.
So I'll be very interested to see the DLC, and I will be revisiting Paradise City, where the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
I never purchased it the first time.
That's
sad. Me neither.
I might. It depends if I can get it again for $20. So. Yep.
All right.
I might purchase it down the road.
Next question, I must say, or rather, I must ask, who banned Gambus Khan from saying, I must say? It hasn't stuck since it would make frequent appearances on N4G podcast Bingo, but I thought there might be a funny backstory.
There really isn't.
Didn't you just make kind of a conscious decision to not say it so much?
Yeah, pretty much. I must say. Yeah.
We all have our little catchphrases that we say way too much. Except Wolverine, who doesn't say anything at all.
Snap.
Fuck. Silence.
Silence is your catchphrase.
All right, his next question is, if you were stranded on a desert island, what No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
My question is actually...
I'd be worried there for a second.
My question is actually this. If you were left stranded somewhere, would you trust the PSP sat-nav system to get you home, ignoring battery life? I ask because I want to know if it's worth getting or just buying a standalone sat-nav. Oh, and how freaking awesome would it be to get a sat-nav that speaks to you in David Hayter's voice?
That would be pretty cool.
That would be awesome.
Turn left.
Meryl. Turn left.
No doubt. You'd get in an argument with it because it'd be asking you questions the whole time.
Should I go this way?
Should you go this way? Trust the nanomachines.
Trust the nanomachines. I've never used it, so I can't answer that, but I would probably say stick with a real one.
Yeah.
The PSP, you know, that's kind of like saying, I want to buy Grand Theft Auto to play a racing game. You know, just because you have a lot of something, it doesn't make it all of it good. Yeah, did I see you like that?
He threw the knife in under the back there.
That was a clever thing to say.
There you go. And finally, what happened to Crew Q's You? You did mention it last week, so by the time you read this, I'm guessing you have something for us to think about.
No.
Well, we had that contest.
We have the contest, so...
We need to come up with a Crew Q's You for next week.
Yeah, we do. And he'll be back next week with some MGS-themed questions, which could be this week, because that question was from last week, so, you know. The next one's from Shot Caller. He says, sup, y'all. I'm an avid player and big-time FPS and shooters. And after playing it for some time, I start to go in a zombie-like trance. This happens 3 or 4 months after I buy a game. To counter this problem, I like to play a bunch of loud rock music to get me pumped up to Pwn Noobs. I want to know what you guys listen to get pumped up while you're playing.
No.
That's canvases.
I just... standard sounds of the game itself.
Same here. I don't really do custom soundtracks.
Don't lie. You use custom soundtracks all the time.
Not so much anymore. I really don't. My iPod is not even connected to my 360 anymore.
The only thing I custom soundtrack is like sports games.
I don't think... I haven't really used my custom soundtrack in ages. So
you know, I haven't used them actually since we played Quake 4 last.
I listened to Tattoo while I played Quake 4.
Yes, you did, and you were singing it, which was priceless. Singing.
You was listening to Tattoo while playing Quake 4?
I was Quake 4.
No, Quake 4.
Oh, Quake 4?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I listened to Lyle Lovett while I was playing Amped.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm speechless.
Maybe we should
that.
Have admitted that.
Yeah, why would you admit that?
Because I like Lyle Lovett. Shut up, emo.
Oh, by the way.
Go. Paint your nails black and cry in a corner.
Are any of you guys going to review Battlefield Bad Company? Well, we kind of did earlier. I might write one after I play some online. And by the way, I know I have to apologize to Shot Caller because he's invited me into two different games of Battlefield Bad Company. But I didn't ignore you. It was just because I was playing single player. And actually, the second time you invited me, Justin was playing.
Yo!
So Killer Wolverine was ignoring you.
Oh, I didn't even see it. I honestly didn't see the invite.
And I got several messages last night while I was playing Metal Gear, but since I have to quit the game to answer the messages, that's why none of them got answered. So I apologize. I'll answer them today.
All right.
Well, yesterday when you hear this.
This is like a big blog here. So Eddie Riviera says, what's up, fellas? It's been a while since I asked a question, but I wanted to ask you guys if you know whether or not there was going to be a blind fire in Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway. I don't know.
No.
You're just going to go with no?
No, I have no idea.
Who are you, Gearbox now?
I am.
Also, I would like to mention that I remember it was Gambus that said that this was his most anticipated title this year on a show a while back. I just wanted to know why.
It's not my most anticipated game,
but I would probably say that it's my most anticipated, like, first-person shooter game because, well, maybe outside of Resistance. Because of the fact that in Hell's Highway that there's a lot of innovation such as civilians and the fact that the people that are with you can actually stumble and fall like real people.
Will they help you and shoot enemies?
I bet they will. I bet their AI is pretty good. I mean, they've had a long time to make the game, so I'm sure that they're tweaking it. So I am looking forward to Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway. So yeah, I'd be looking forward to that.
There you go. He also basically just goes on to talk about how he's totally excited for the year, this year, all the games coming out. He says everyone is going to have so many games to play that no one is going to have time to flame anymore. That's totally not true.
That's not true.
They'll find time.
You would think.
You would think, but no. They don't play games. They just complain about them. Aren't you guys excited? Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It won't be too long before you guys will be able to talk about some new games instead of games that have been around for 1 to 2 years already.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of hearing people talk about how Uncharted's graphics being best in the biz or Xbox Live being better than PS3. I can't wait till this madness ends. P.S., he's going to be a special guest on The Warzone. It's a podcast every Sunday night at thebitbag.com. So there's your little plug.
Cool.
Joe Smackenroe has in questions.
John Smackenroe.
Oh, I'm sorry. John Smackenroe has in questions amount of questions. All right. First one is, A, when is it appropriate to tell a friend that you love them? Have you ever let an I love you slip out of your mouth?
Depends on the friend and your relationship.
Yeah.
And then letter B is, have you told each other on the show that you love them?
No.
No.
I did. I love all you guys.
I do love Gambus Khan.
Well, I love you too.
I love wow, why don't you two get a room, okay? Jesus Christ.
I love
just
all
mad
you guys.
Nobody loves you. This is true.
When are 3D, I love you. When are 3D glasses coming for gaming? They already did. It was in Contra, Legacy of War.
And to go way back, it was packaged with Rad Racer on the original
Rad
NES.
Racer, and they were the red and blue.
Wow. Yeah, and an even better set of 3D glasses were included with the Sega Master System with the system packaged with, yeah. I think it was Missile Command 3D.
Yeah.
So there you
go. Wow, good memory.
Good memory. All right.
It happens sometimes.
D, I have noticed that if given a choice between killing someone in a game or not, I choose not to. But when I do, I feel bad about it. I never felt bad about stacking bodies before. Is it possible that gaming actually makes you less violent?
No.
Killer Wolverine?
You have to ask me.
Killer Wolverine feels bad every time he punches a wall.
Oh, snap. Letter E is about to make people angry.
But I don't think it's probably the game making you less violent. I think you're probably just getting less violent as you get older.
You're just maturing.
Yeah.
Letter E, I have a hard time distinguishing the voice of Wombat from Killer Wolverine.
My voice is the one that actually talks, and his voice is the one that doesn't say anything.
What?
Hate you? Man, I'm busting on you hard this episode. I apologize.
I don't really care.
Letter F, what is the prettiest accent to listen to on PSN or Xbox Live? I'll tell you what it's not, it's fucking Chinese. We were playing Shadowrun, man. It just sounded, I don't know what was going on. He's in there, he's like, I'm like, what? What?
I still think that the best accent is British female.
Yeah. Yeah, which a couple times I actually talked to a British female.
You hitting on her?
I was trying to, but I think she was...
Have you not learned that Xbox Live is not a place for your propaganda?
It's not lovematch.com.
It's just like Metal Gear. Love cannot bloom on the battlefield.
I will tell you one thing. I will tell you one thing right now. Xbox Live's matchmaking system ain't no eHarmony. All right, buddy?
Yeah. You got that? For sure.
For sure.
Letter G, smoking is still cool, right? No, it's not. I smoke, and it's not cool.
Actually, if your pipe's smoking, it's a little bit on the cool side.
If your pipe's smoking and you're either 80... or in the year 1876.
If you haven't bought a PSP, would you strongly consider to buy one if Play TV hit these shores?
I have one already.
So. What, Play TV?
No, PSP.
Oh.
I already got a PSP, so, I mean, I'd be up for that. I mean, always up for trying new things.
It's good to know that you can get up.
For new things.
For new things. You're down by a couple in a deathmatch. How do you rally the troops?
Yell at them repeatedly.
By sacrificing myself.
I just run out into the field going, I'm about to own you, bitches! And then I die. People are real angry that so many 10 out of 10 scores are given out in the past year, starting with Bioshock. Nobody complains about splitting of hairs in gymnastics. Do a glut of great games constitute a need for raising the bar? If so, why don't people just tack on more points to the denominator?
Because in the end, it's all subjective anyway. If you never give out a 10, then 9.9 is the new 10.
There you go.
That's why 10. That's why 10 can't mean perfect. Because no matter what number you make your scale out of, it's the same thing.
This is for the con. Letter K. How about that? Who's your favorite video game journalist or podcaster? You better say me. No, I'm just kidding.
You better say me. I told you I loved you.
I told you I loved all of you.
Ah! Let's see here. A podcast that I really enjoy listening to. Well, there's a couple. Video Game Outsiders is a good one.
He's an outsider. Have you seen him before?
Yeah, Video Game Outsiders is awesome. And, of course, the One Up Yours podcast is fantastic. And in terms of video game journalists, I'm a fan of Dave Halvorsen.
He gave that sentence a 10 out of 10.
He gets a lot of flack, but I enjoy reading his reviews.
He's a very, very good writer. Very good writer.
From 1UP, Dan Shu.
He's not at 1UP anymore.
Well, yeah, but when he was, Dan Shu was good. John Davidson, when he was a part of 1UP.
All the good guys are gone. No. Crispin Boyer.
Yeah, Crispin Boyer.
He's gone.
The thing is, I actually like to listen to Shane Bentenhausen on the podcast.
You like to listen to him just because you don't agree with like half of everything he says?
But yeah, exactly. I don't agree with him on half of what he says, but the other half I really, really agree with him. So it's kind of one of those and he adds a little bit of spice to the podcast. He adds a lot of a conflicting factor to the podcast, which I think is always pretty cool. And
he called you a peasant.
He called me a peasant?
Well, didn't you hear the latest episode? He was calling people peasants. So.
Oh, okay. There well,
because he's so good.
I was thinking, what would be...
What would Jesus do?
Yeah, what do you do?
He'd probably listen to the Hardcore Christian Gamers podcast.
Yeah, which I listen to as well, and that's another really good podcast that I enjoy listening to. They're actually they're pretty funny, pretty comical podcast. But I was thinking to myself, what would be the ultimate podcast crew? Like, if you got all these dudes in one room. And I think I came up with a crew of like Dave Halvorsen, Shane Bentenhausen, Dan Shu, John Davidson, Crispin Boyer, and then to even add even more controversy, Dennis Dyack and David Jaffe. All in the same room. Oh, my God. I think that would probably be the best podcast ever.
Speaking of Dennis Dyack, did you see the thread he started?
Yeah.
Wow. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Does he just like...
It was a little... Yeah, I mean, it was a little immature.
Yeah. Does he just like this kind of attention?
Somebody on the forum said it was spent damage control.
It's not damage
control. He's just overly confident.
I just think he's kind of dumb. He just needs to stop putting himself in this position.
Yeah.
Just let your game come out and then...
Let the game speak for itself.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't be arrogant about it. If you think it's good, it'll end up being good.
Anyway, moving on. Have you ever seen your permanent record from school? I always heard about it, but I never saw it. Is seeing believing?
No. Permanent record is something that they lie to you about. They just tell you that it exists to keep you in line.
It's more propaganda.
Yes.
First game you ever bought... His was Black Belt.
Nice.
First game I ever bought, honestly, that I owned myself, was Legend of Zelda for the NES. I bought it with the system.
There's a couple of games I bought when I was like six for the Atari 2600. One was Castle Frankenstein, and the other one was...
Was it Jewish?
I guess they just didn't have
Frankenstein.
They didn't have the rights to Frankenstein, so they called it Frankenstein. And the other game was
I'm coming to kill you, oh god.
And the other game was Jim Henson's Muppets in Space.
Oh, Muppets in Space. I had Muppets in Space for the Atari.
That was a good game.
It was a good game.
Because it had
three different games.
Yeah, it had different gameplay mechanics. And my favorite was Gonzo.
Yeah.
And you played his stage like a shooter.
Right. It was in a spaceship.
Yeah.
Yeah, you shot meatballs, right?
Yeah.
So what was your first
game? That was awesome.
I honestly don't remember. It has to be either Battletoads or Turtles for the NES.
First game I ever bought with my own money was Metal Gear.
Metal Gear!
On the original NES.
Then you were pissed because you thought it was broken.
Yeah.
We've told that story before. There's no need to go
into it. And his last one, everyone loves epic boss battles in Metal Gear Solid. So why do I play so many games without them?
That is a good question.
Because sometimes they're just not there. And we still have to play the game to enjoy it.
Every game that is not a World War II or realistic-themed shooter should have epic boss battles.
It's almost like saying... like someone talking to me, because like my favorite movies of all time are the Lord of the Rings movies, and it's like, why watch anything else besides Lord of the Rings, you know? Because maybe I need to be reminded that there's lesser movies out there.
There you go.
So that's the answer right there.
Sometimes they're just not needed.
Yeah, and that too.
Next question comes from one of our most popular fans, Maze 13.
Hey, what's up, Maze?
Says, what's up, guys? I recently finished MGS4. I have to say this is by far the best-looking PS3 game, in my opinion. Uncharted comes in second for me. Anyways, I finally know everything. The Patriots. Who would have known? Right, ZT? Yeah. Damn right. You were right. Zero is the beginning. Which you still don't know what that means, so I'll leave it alone. Anyways, now that MGS4 is out, what other games are you guys anticipating for the rest of the year? Each of you have to answer. Your games could be from PS3 and 360 only.
Eat that, Wii.
Yeah, eat that,
Wii.
Take
it in the face, Wii.
Damn. Ooh, Star Wars First
yeah,
Unleashed.
I'm gonna say Star Wars Gears.
Mercenaries.
Gears. Two Human.
Resistance
Gears.
2.
Gears. Say it.
Two Human.
Fucking say it.
Too Human.
For
me,
son of a bitch.
It's Too Human. Resistance 2. No, don't.
Fable 2.
Get your finger out of my face. Fable 2. Definitely.
I'm looking forward to that in 2009.
Star Wars Force.
No, they announced it. It's going to be this
4.
Year. And I don't know if it's this year or next year.
Really?
But Champions Online too.
Cool.
I know. I'd probably next year.
I think it's next year.
I was looking forward to Prototype and Infamous, but those were both
pushed
to next year.
Yeah.
So, one that not many people are talking about that may come out this year, Just Cause 2. Kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I like the first one.
I'm actually looking forward to Infinite Undiscovery.
Of course you
There's
are.
There's a shocker. There's an RPG.
Yeah.
Star Ocean? You looking forward to Star Ocean?
Yeah. Star Ocean probably won't be out until 2009.
Shane Bettenhausen called it a B-level RPG.
Snap.
Yeah, I know. I mean, God disagree with... thing is, some of the people I like to listen to on podcasts, I disagree with, and that's a part of the magic, you know.
We got magic.
Yeah.
He also has got, he knows the thread was running low, so I asked two more. The sarcastic gamer guys are always ripping on you guys, saying that you guys are PS3 fanboys, but I think they're wrong. I think you guys prefer 360 over PS3. I see you guys more often on Live than on PSN. I want to know why you don't buy your multi-platform games for PS3. Is it because PS3 has no achievements?
That's exactly why.
Well, that's like
that and Live.
That's half the reason.
Yeah.
That and Live.
That and, you know, if I bought the PS3 version, I'll just be playing by myself the whole time or playing with complete and utter strangers. You know, you go
Like everybody we know always buys things on 360. So yeah. To play with each other, to play with each other,
that's 360. That's a bad choice of words. But yeah, 360 is the choice in terms of multiplayer gaming and achievements. So it's not just achievements.
You right. Know. Does Sarcastic Gamer even listen to us then?
I listened to a couple episodes of Sarcastic Gamer, and they do put down N4G sometimes. And
I like how they put down the site that delivers them most of their traffic.
Yeah, and I was
I don't care enough about Sarcastic Gamer to be bothered one way or the other.
I don't care either. I just think it's funny.
I just figure. I mean, they like to rip on N4G, and it's like when it comes to us, we like to rip on each other. You know what I'm saying? And
I don't have to belittle myself by making fun of other people.
Yeah, and I was just thinking that if
Meryl,
if the podcasters
God, Tourette's Jesus,
if they're too busy making fun of other people besides themselves, then quite frankly, that they must not be that interesting to listen to.
How can they be taken seriously if their card's sarcastic anyway?
Yeah,
fuck them. Let's move on.
We've talked about them too much already.
Yeah, we've already given into their demands.
Yep.
Yeah.
Moving on.
We don't care. We like to make fun of each other and talk about video games.
Can somebody recommend Maze a good LCD TV, not too expensive, 40 inches and higher? If you don't want too expensive, go Vizio.
I've got mine actually wasn't too expensive. You have the same thing I have, Sony Grand Vega.
Sony Grand Vega is a great TV.
Hi.
It's a little more.
So
than,
do I.
Oh, you I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
Sony's the best. Sony's the best, but if you want cheap, Vizio's a good cheap brand. It really is.
Actually, mine's 46. Yeah. 46, 42.
But if you want the best, go Sony, and they're not too expensive. They're around $1,500, $1,600 for a 40-inch. But if you want cheap, go Vizio, and it's still a good TV.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah, I checked out some of those Vizios, and they do make a really nice picture.
All right, next question. Hey, guys, love the show. This comes from Baron Tiss. Ntis. Firstly, why won't Microsoft let me change my gamer tag when I create it? I didn't mean to accept this tag. I was getting frustrated with the idea that so many of them were already taken that I randomly typed episiotomy, which is a complete misspelling of a horribly frightening act. I now see that I have to spend 800 points to change it. Quite rough. What is the reason for that? Well, the reason for that is because your gamer tag is universal. It goes across everything, and it's tied to so many other things that changing it becomes a huge maintenance task for Microsoft. And not to mention that for the same reason that I disabled the ability for forum users to change their name, it's your identity.
Right.
And if you were able to change it at will, there would be name changes every single day.
Yeah.
Because people want to change their name. Like on the forums, I forgot who people were.
Right.
Because they change their name every single day.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is the real reason. Could you imagine, like, if you've ever seen somebody change their gamer tag to pay for it, their old profile is gone. It doesn't update anymore. It just turns into the question mark thing. So, you know, it becomes a huge maintenance task for a lot of people. A lot of things break because of it. So that's the reason why it costs you 800 points to change it.
And, I mean, be glad that they give you that option now because they didn't before.
Yeah. Second question. Also, I have noticed that you guys seem to play a lot of games. Stupid comment, I know, but please keep reading. Do you guys purchase most of the games that you play? I'm curious to know what kind of work you guys do to pull off purchasing so many games each month. Oh, well, I guess my main question is, how much do you guys spend on games out of pocket each month aside from trade-ins? You really don't want me to answer that question because it will just piss off so many more people. Out of pocket, I might spend $60, not even every month.
Yeah, I'm probably around $60.
And I'm lucky if I spend that.
Maybe $100.
For me, I get so much shit to review that it becomes insane sometimes. But of course, then there are months when I don't get anything.
Right.
I get nothing.
Well, and I don't have the gaming time that I used to, so I don't buy as many games as I used to. I used to spend probably $150 a month at least, and I traded stuff in a lot.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, I probably spend $100.
But you two guys also have Gamefly, so that's another reason why you play a lot of different stuff.
Well, when I had a job, I actually spent a lot of money.
You spent a small fortune, then you turn around and traded it all in for Rock Band.
At that time, I didn't have a job, so my collection's getting up there.
Just don't trade it all in again for Rock Band.
My collection's actually starting to look pretty decent right now.
I don't even want to talk about mine.
Yeah, you got
Mr. Khan,
too many fucking games.
How much do you spend a month?
Somewhere between probably on a slower month, 100, a busy month, 150. I usually buy like one, maybe two full price titles, and then a couple discount cheap titles.
Have we done? He asked the question. Have we done the whole gone around the room and said what everybody does for a living thing?
No, I don't think we have. But
I know everybody knows Gamus is a security guard.
Gamus is a security guard, and Killer Wolverine's a schoolboy.
Right now, I am in school. Yes, yes.
So I have a very boring job. I'm a credit analyst / finance guy for a finance company. I structure car deals all day and look at credit.
Who would have thought what I did?
Gee,
I am an internet developer / designer.
So there
I
you
work
go.
On the internet all
on the
day long. All day long. I work for a software company. And I make web pages.
He works on it so much he actually sees plain text and code.
I do. I'm like, hey, how does that work? All right, we're going to finish this page out even though we're running overtime. So this is going to be a little extended episode, but we're going to finish this page out.
People like extended episodes.
They do.
I know they do. First time poster, long time listener. Here's my cue for the crew from Flame Boyne. I did not make that up. What do people think the chances of Sony working out a software-based solution, backwards compatibility solution, for the PS3s that don't have it? The reason I ask is because mine doesn't, and having played MGS4, having not played MGS3, has left me wanting to play it, rather than just read about it. I remember a few months ago Sony advertised for PS3 emulators jobs, so could it be possible? Also, with this in mind, do you think that once the PS2 ceases to be a viable format, will we see them on PSN? I do, as Sony have always said that they hate pre-owned games market, and cheap prices for downloadable games would help eradicate this without annoying the retailer.
Yeah, I can see that happening when the PS2 dies and it's on its way, but our old friend Professor Chaos seems to think, and he, I don't know where he heard it, that that rumor is floating about that.
I can see I can see it going either way because Sony has already made the comment that nobody cares about backwards compatibility anymore. And they took it out to make it cheaper. And if they took it out of the system to make it cheaper, why would they create a new developer, a new R&D division to create an emulator?
Yeah.
Instead of just putting the hardware in the system is what I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a possibility. I think it's probably a more likely possibility once the PS2 stops selling.
Could be like 5 years from
right.
now?
Because at this point, I mean, let's be honest, Sony's a company, they like to make money. They would much rather you buy a PlayStation 2 to play the PlayStation 2 games on than for you to play them on the PlayStation 3. Once the PS2 stops selling, though, I think it's probably more likely.
I hope so, because mine doesn't have the backwards compatibility. So
mine does.
Shut up.
All right, next question comes from Jimbo N. It says, greetings all the way from Sweden.
Sweden.
You guys have no idea how many graveyard shifts you have saved for both me and my coworkers over here. Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
Just have to thank you guys for what was probably become one of the most entertaining gaming podcasts around. The unique personalities and laid-back style of the podcast goes a long way, together with some really awesome humor, to make this podcast, I'm losing my mind, so great to listen to.
Your check's in the mail.
One thing that really bothers me, though, and this ties into my question, is that I have no faces to put to the voice system, and this is something that can really take away from the podcast experience. So my question is, do you have any serious plans of creating some kind of page with photos of yourself? I heard you talking a little bit about this during a recent episode. I'm tired of imagining up crazy pictures in my head of a tough-looking security guard dude with a golden heart and a love for RPGs and a deep, soothing voice. Keep up the good work, and don't forget, you are big in Sweden.
I'm buying a shirt that says that.
I'm big in Sweden.
Well, if you put the staff page back up on your website.
You know what I thought about doing, actually? My cell phone has camcorder on it, and I think I can upload it to the Sprint website. So I could do like a little meet the crew video thing real quick and throw it up one day.
We can do that. I think we should, when I go back to create the crew page, which I may do eventually, I would like to get a headshot of everybody to put on the crew page like we had before, which would just be awesome. We just have to come up with like some kind of great theme
right.
to do it with.
We could change it weekly.
We are definitely thinking about doing – we did pictures a lot in the beginning, yeah. And we just stopped doing them. Like at the Wii launch, we had pictures from that, which were just classic. And then we had pictures from one of the episodes of the show that we did. Yeah. So back when it was like four guys sitting around a microphone on a table.
Back when it was at my house.
In the condo. The last question comes from DeHalo Fiend and will involve Gambus Khan and Killer Wolverine.
Snap.
Says, Killer Wolverine, if you can change any aspects of RPG games for you to enjoy them, what would it be? And Gambus will have no say or opinion about it.
Well, I don't like the turn-based style of fighting. That I don't want to pick my attack and, you know, let someone do it for me. That's why I like games like, you know, the Mass Effect, that kind of RPG. So, and I don't want to wait 20 minutes for the attack to come out too. I want it to happen right away. So.
Hold on, it's not done yet. It's still not there.
Blinding flash.
It's still loading.
It's like watching a cutscene for Metal Gear.
Except it's not as interesting.
No, not at all. So I think those two elements are what really piss me off the most.
You don't have a problem with
And the text bubbles.
You don't like to read, do you?
I hate reading. I'm not illiterate and everything, because obviously from what I'm going to school for, I have a lot of reading to do. Just talk. I don't need no text bubbles.
I love the, speaking of annoying special attacks, it always cracked me up. As much as I love Skies of Arcadia, it always cracked me up that before a special attack, the main character, I always go, "Huh?" before every single one of them. And then he'd say something, whatever the attack was, but it was always, "Huh?" and then he would say whatever the attack was.
I guess the long and short of it is, if you make games, the RPG kind, make it like Oblivion and Mass Effect, and I'll be happy. And Cooter. Good old Cooter.
Nothing like some good old Cooter, I guess.
So, but that's, yeah,
Cooter's semi-turn-based.
Very, very valid point.
Semi, but
you still pick your attack.
Right.
And it does
well, you pick it in advance. I mean, So I like that. That was good. But those are the turn-off for me in RPGs. So, and they're really boring.
And the second part to his question is, what will the crew expect to hear from E3? Which, by the way, we will be doing an E3 show the week of the show, which is the 15th. So we will be doing that show on, I believe, the 13th.
I might have to take a leave of absence from school
so
I can help out somewhat.
But we will be doing a prediction show that week, which that covers our next two episodes. Next week will be the Metal Gear Roundtable, and the week after will be the E3 predictions. So,
there you go.
See, we have a schedule.
That saved us some work.
So is all next week going to be is Metal Gear?
No.
I'm not coming.
No, it won't just be Metal Gear, but it'll be a lot of Metal Gear, so you should read up and prepare to talk about it.
It's kind of different from reading and playing, though.
Well, then go
I would like to fucking play it. God damn it.
Okay, chill out. What are we expecting from E3?
Put the controller down.
It's not your wall.
You want to fan the fanboy flames? Let's just do it this way. Which, in order of the three big ones, who are you most excited to see? And why? Just put them in order.
Well, we already pretty much know what Microsoft is going to show.
Well, yeah, they kind of got it. But
we don't know all the games.
We don't know all the games yet. We don't know what's going to be shown. Sometimes those rumors are false.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, out of the three companies, the one that I'm most interested in seeing in terms of their presentation, their press conference, the one I'm most interested in seeing is Nintendo. Because Nintendo, God bless them, but sometimes they screw up really bad, and sometimes they have a really cool showing. Last year's was terrible, but it was still entertaining because it was terrible. And the one before that was actually pretty good because it got me excited for the Wii, you know? So, and the thing is, they always bring a lot of personality to the press conference. With Reggie and Miyamoto doing something. I mean, I don't know what Miyamoto's going to do this time. I mean, maybe there'll be a freaking garden
on the stage, and Miyamoto will come out wearing suspenders and will actually start farming on stage. I'm thinking that it might be something like that.
For Pikmin 3?
For Pikmin 3 or
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing. He'll shake a tree.
Yeah, you might have some people in costume on stage. I mean, that'd be kind of neat.
So what about between the other two? Who's your second most anticipated?
Probably Sony, because I'm just interested in... They got Metal Gear.
What's next?
They got FF13.
Next year.
Mm-hmm. Next year. And I just got to say, what's next?
Well, Resistance, but that's further down the road. But what's next?
Where do they go from here, you know? With Microsoft, I mean, it's
predictable but fun.
Predictable but fun, yeah.
Maybe predictable but fun.
Yeah. Maybe.
I still get the feeling that Microsoft has some games up their sleeve that they haven't pulled out yet. Yeah. Sony, too.
Killer Instinct.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think I like that order, too. But I think I put Sony above Nintendo. So, I don't know. I just want to see what Sony has. Like I said, what's next with them? So.
Actually, I think, for me personally, I think Microsoft's probably number one just because... for a couple reasons. Number one, because I imagine they're going to show most of the games that I find myself really, really anticipating right now for the rest of this year are on the Xbox. So, like Too Human, I want to see more out of, which I imagine we're going to see quite a bit out of. Fable 2, we're going to see quite a bit out of, I think. And also because, honestly, I think that Microsoft's conference has to be the best out of all of them, just for Microsoft's sake. I think that, you know, they're going to have to show some pretty big guns this year. And I honestly do think that they've been pretty quiet, which makes me think that they've probably got something brewing that we don't know about yet.
It's always amazing to me that, like, the way momentum works, that Sony was so bad for so long.
Right.
They start putting out some good games, all of a sudden they're on a roll.
Right.
Nintendo is just dominating everything.
Right.
Microsoft stays consistently substantial. Nobody cares.
Right.
You can't argue that it has the best library, has some of the best games, incredible experience. Xbox Live is awesome. Granted, Red Ring of Death sucks.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. But nobody ever gives them any credit. It's always, Microsoft, you got to prove something to me.
Right.
If I was Microsoft, I'd just be pissed at this point. I'm like, what the fuck else do you want? Shit.
My thing from Microsoft is that if they come out this year at E3 and... they show nothing. They show the me thing and the home thing or whatever, and they show nothing, nothing new or substantial, then they're not really making a good case for the whole, the next Xbox isn't anytime soon thing. So it's more interesting to me sort of from that front, too, where I feel like if they don't really just blow out and show a whole bunch of cool stuff, it makes me think that probably 720 is closer than we think. Not like next year or anything.
No, it's already 2010, right. 2011, somewhere around
but,
there.
Also because, you know, I just feel like right now they really need to have a good hit. They're in the same position that Sony was in last year.
Yeah.
They need to have a good E3. So that makes their conference more interesting to me. Not to mention, like I said, the games are there for me.
I just don't want them to focus on this year again.
Right.
Like, this is all, we're only going to talk about games coming out this year.
Right.
My
hope for them, though, is that if they do that, they at least put one or two games in for next year. But I don't want a Sony conference either where they show us all games that aren't coming out for 2 years.
Well, like Killzone?
Right. Right. That's what I don't want. I don't want them to say, well, you know, Sony's got all the stuff that they're announcing for 2009, or that's waiting in the wings for 2009, like Final Fantasy 13, God of War 3,
probably 2010.
Gran Turismo 5. I don't want them to say, well, we need to start announcing stuff for 2009. Well, you know what, announce a couple things, but wait until 2009 to announce your late 2009 stuff.
Well, yeah.
So that people don't hype over it for... like Killzone Syndrome. Too Human Syndrome.
Hype over it
for forever, and then it never shows up. And then Sony, obviously, is second, because I also think that they have something up their sleeve, too, that they haven't
I think pretty much at this point Nintendo's shown all their cards. I think it's pretty easy to tell what they're gonna talk about. The other two are a little more.
I'm hoping that we get a peek at Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
Because I'd really like to see Twisted Metal.
Yeah. And then Nintendo, lastly, just, you know, because like I said, I think everybody's got a pretty good handle on where they're going to go. But I'm interested to see Kid Icarus and where they go with a couple of those things. So.
See, if I had a label, I'd probably put Sony first.
I think so.
Because this is the time when I want to see what they're going to do. I want to see them show some of the games they've been talking about for a long time. Not to mention I want them to show me two of my favorite franchises, which is God of War and Twisted Metal, in the next generation. I want to see that, like, really bad. I also want to see where they go with this the downloadable games, because SOCOM and Warhawk, Warhawk was great. SOCOM sounds great. Where's My Wipeout HD?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
all these great,
still waiting.
These great franchises coming back. I'm really excited to see how much they push that. I don't want to hear about Home.
Right.
No. I really don't. I'm sure I will, but I don't. I don't want to hear about it. I'm sure they're going to announce the 2.4 update, like, during the show and say, okay, you can go download it right now. Second, Microsoft, just for the fact that I want to see more of Banjo-Kazooie. I want to see more of what it's like. I want to see more. I want to see Killer Instinct.
You want to see their motion control?
No, I really don't want to. I really don't care about the motion control, and I don't care about my gamer pad.
Right.
If it's free for silver and gold members, that's cool. If you want to let them run around in this little thing, that's fine. The Miis within the games, that's cool. I dig that.
Right.
Especially if they're going to integrate it into, like, Xbox Live Arcade.
Right.
And the actual retail games, that'll be awesome. Especially what they can do with achievements and the integration, that's cool. And then finally Nintendo, because at this point I have every game that I want for the Wii. So I'm really not excited about much unless they announce a new Zelda. I'm really not. Because
it's a rumor.
We have got to the GameCube point where all of the big dogs are out. So now we're going to get Mario Baseball.
Right.
And, you know, third tier Nintendo character games like Kirby and fucking Wario. And I just don't care as much about that stuff. I just don't. Unless they announce a new Zelda... I don't like Animal Crossing, so I don't care.
Well, the thing is, in my opinion, if they announce a new Zelda, I don't want it to be just another Zelda. I would want it to be something that pushes the boundaries and expectations of what it means to be a Zelda game.
It won't.
There you go.
There
it'll
you
be,
go.
Two syllables
it'll be,
to disappoint you.
It'll be Link's Crossbow Training 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Nice.
And that wraps up the show. Like I said, to recap the contest to name Killer Wolverine's new segment, you can win a free copy of Wolf of the Battlefield Commando 3 for the PlayStation 3. So make sure you post those up, and we will pick one. We'll try to make a thread for it so that it can all go in one section. Next week is our Metal Gear Roundtable, so expect lots and lots of spoilers.
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alerts are coming. In 2 weeks, we have the E3 show. So we're going to get out of here for now. Like I said, keep filling up the question thread.
And for those of you who are on iTunes...
Make sure you vote. Vote.
Make sure that you leave us a comment, because the more comments we get on iTunes, the more that we're able to branch out and other people will be able to listen to this.
We need to get into
podcast.
The featured page.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen.
That's the goal.
The goal is to get into the featured page. But that's it for this week. We're going to get out of here, fill up the question thread, and be sure to enter the contest. But for now, we're going to get out of here. So, Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind.
Well, I'm a mushroom cloud laying motherfucker, motherfucker. Look out.
madness to my sadness and my unfulfilling madness is more than you need. Seems like when those damn reason I get mad at you, even though you know that you've done nothing wrong. Am I just bipolar or am I real short fuse? And my irritability proves I'm too far gone. Oh, 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 oh. I'm blowing up in another direction, refuses to look up all your affections. Can't control all my deep frustrations. You'll see first in my bad vibrations. I don't know just how to control these anger emotions and getting past. I wanna pound the world now with my fist for ignoring my feelings and making me feel
I want to make sure you're not breathing in there, because as much as we love your orgasmic sounds. What? Are you pooping?
Man. I work with... This is going to be the oddest combination of stories ever. I work with a guy who used to play in the NFL, and he's giant. Like, he's a very large guy. And occasionally, you'll walk into the bathroom the same time he's in there, on the toilet, and it's about the scariest thing I've ever heard in my life. You walk in there and you just hear, ugh. It sounds like there's a monster sleeping in the... stall next to you.
So there's no, it's
sounds like you're going to awaken the deep beast or something.
It's almost as good as like if you walk in on Arnold taking a shit.
It, pretty much, yeah.
He tried to do it. Are you okay? Jesus.
It's rough.
Wow. Get to the get to the toilet.
Get to the bathroom now. Put the cookies down.